To participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this?
You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C., 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Will you see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater. The only thing left to be radio. That's just for ugly people.
37 minutes after the hour. Good afternoon. You are up next.
Hello.
Yes.
Wait, let me turn down my radio.
Okay, sure.
I'd like to say I came across your program by accident, and this is one of the more informative programs I've ever heard. And I've never called a radio show before, but I was drawn to call on this topic.
Yes. Thank you very much for doing so.
Absolutely, and I think you're an excellent interviewer. No matter who your guest is, you're forcing them to answer the questions that we're all waiting to hear the answers to, and we appreciate that.
Thank you.
What's going on in South America is, of course, relevant to everything that happens in this hemisphere, but I feel that the World Bank is committing acts of ass play when forcing people to eat BM on the Don and Mike Show.
Okay, fine. Thank you very much. You know, there is really no telling, is there? I am personally offended by this. Don't do it again. As a matter of fact, I'm not even going to. You're gone. Don't call me again.
This episode deals with the inappropriateness of racial invectives and contains coarse racial slurs. Viewer discretion is advised.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Hey, kids, could I talk to you for about 30 seconds? This is Elvis Presley. I ask you to listen. Now, here's a song.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich, and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
I got some old dad who's concerned about my language.
Certainly.
She's from Sioux City.
Of course she is. Hello.
Yes, I'm the old dad from Sioux City. Yes.
Yes, hi. Welcome to the program.
That actually could be a song like the little old lady from Pasadena.
Go, Granny, go, Granny, go, Granny, go.
Yes, ma'am.
Like I was telling the gentleman that answered the phone.
Yes.
I usually don't have the station on. I came home from work and my son had it on.
Yes.
And I walked through the room, mm-hmm. and I thought she had said, Jesus.
I probably did.
Say that.
I probably
so
did
anyhow,
say that.
Anyhow, I sat down to work on some of my paperwork. And you had a gentleman, I don't know for sure what the topic was, but he could not remember if he had listened to it last night or this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And so pretty soon, I kept hearing it and listening, and I thought, my gosh. Is he ever going to let this listener, you know, have a...
Jesus Christ, would you get to the point?
You know, and I listened, I thought, my gosh, there's no point in anybody calling these people. They don't shut up long enough to listen.
Would you agree that we've actually...
Now,
wait a minute, you're not listening either right now. Would you agree that we just gave you that that entire little piece of time to explain your situation?
Well, no, I haven't got to the part that... Cause the other
oh, I'm sorry.
See, listen, the point is that this is not like a normal radio show. If we just let anybody call and babble on as long as they like, no one would listen. That's like bad talk radio.
So why do you use the blasphemy?
What blasphemy?
Then you followed it up and said, Jesus Christ.
Yes, Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Listen,
no,
listen, honey, I go to church every week, okay? Well, I have nothing to be concerned about.
It must be a cult that you go to.
No, I am a member. Hey, hold on. Hey, you old bat. I am a member of the Episcopalian Church.
Oh,
I go,
that's why.
there's something wrong with that?
On the church.
Can I tell you something? I talked to Jesus Christ, and he said he hates you.
Yeah, well, that must be your church, because, see, most people would consider that kind of talk. That's not the way to talk.
Have you never in conversation, well, I bet you haven't because you're so old, but maybe somebody of my modern generation perhaps has had a conversation that said, Jesus, what is going on?
How old do you think I am?
About 100.
Well, you're off a couple of years. Would you like a second guess?
90.
I'm going to say, all right, always being the nice guy, I'm going to say 80. I'm going to say 83.
Yeah, you haven't been being a nice guy yet.
83?
Would you believe 45? No.
I believe 45 and hung up.
You call me a liar.
45 and hung up, baby.
The Episcopalian isn't much of a church.
Oh, now don't insult
the
church.
Go to hell. Go to hell.
Say that.
Go to hell.
Right way.
Go to hell. If you don't like the channel, change the channel.
I don't understand why you people think you can get on the radio waves and
listen.
So rude to the listeners. I was shocked.
Listen, can I tell you something? The people that listen to our program, and I mean this very seriously, and get on.
I was sick.
Listen, would you shut up and let me say something?
You usually do, it sounds like.
Shut up, you hag. I hung up on her. Listen, for anybody like that old lady that's never heard the program before, we do something that's fast, that's give and take with the people. The people that call the show know that they run the risk at any time of being disconnected, of being insulted. The difference is that the people that call know that it's in fun, that it's in jest, that we're just trying to move the program along.
And as you said, they know that there's the chance of getting dissed, of getting yelled at, or of getting loved. And quite often, that's what happens, too. They call this show, and after they finish their conversations with us, they feel loved.
You know what? I know all kinds of radio shows where the call... You want to know... You ever heard this guy, Bruce Williams? You want to know why Bruce Williams is on at night? Because he's got no ratings. You know why he's got no ratings? Because he lets people call up and talk about freaking paneling for 15 minutes. Bruce, I was changing the oil in my car, and I noticed that the dipstick did not go all the way in. Guys like that get half an hour on his show.
Well, where are you calling from, sweetheart? Okay, Dolly. Okay,
listen,
kid.
It's a new brand of talk radio we're doing here, and Miss 45-year-old, who might as well between her legs be 100, don't listen anymore. That's my advice to you.
I think you need to get a good attorney there, sweetheart. Where you come from, baby cakes?
See, the thing is, when we take phone calls, before I ever knew Mike, back when I played records, I used to do something on my program called the Boogie Check, where people would call, and the goal of this was to call and just get on the air. And I would take as many calls as I could, hanging up on people, making fun of people, people doing the same back at me, back and forth. Now, we're not under a format with the tight range where we got to play records. We can take calls, but we use the same rapid-fire format.
Yes, it's live radio. It moves at a very fast pace, and we don't like to waste time with things that aren't interesting, and it is our discretion to move past callers we don't find interesting, and that's just the way it is.
Now here we go. What is this going to be? Complaint day? Hello, Mobile. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Hello.
Hello?
Yes, hello. Oh, it's another bag.
No, I ain't no woman.
You ain't no woman.
No. Hey, listen, I was just calling up to tell y'all, I thought that was pretty rude what y'all done to that woman. She's a nice lady.
Oh, jeez. You're listening to the wrong show. Listen,
no,
you need to...
I've been listening
to
y'all for a while. I mean, I think it's funny and all, but hell, she's a nice woman.
She's a nice woman. She's wrong.
Do you think that the members of the Episcopalian Church collectively think that she's a nice woman?
Oh, no, I ain't talking about all that.
What do you mean you're not talking about it? That's what she said. She said that's not a church.
Oh, I realize that wasn't her whole
thing. So you think that was... Wait a minute. Do you think that was nice? You said she's a nice lady. Do you think that was nice?
I don't think that was exactly nice.
Well,
no.
I don't think she's a nice lady, so we disagree.
She called with a preconceived notion about the program that she thought that I hung up on people. And my answer to that is if you don't like it, you have the power... Don't waste my time, for God's sake. If you don't like it, change the channel.
Exactly, and I listen to y'all and I like y'all, but I just thought that she was just saying she didn't like the fact y'all was cussing, you know, her saying Jesus Christ was cussing.
Cussing? God, I just think that... Listen, I got a tape I want everybody to listen to. Here you go.
I am the truth.
Here we go.
We take Jesus... and we wrap him around our reproductive organs.
That's right. Amen.
And it's Jesus who's speaking to us to take his healing gospel to this generation and to do it now.
That is Oral Roberts.
Hello.
Down.
Of course, you hung up.
He went back with all the other basses. Ernest?
To go through more rocks through windows until Andy and Barney have to come get him.
And then when he comes to get me, inevitably we're sitting on the porch playing music with our family.
Why is everybody so uptight about this? For God's sakes, go vote for Bob Dole and see if you can get your own world.
You know why everybody's uptight about it? I have a theory. It's the time of the year. It's that time of year. It's the February doldrums. And that's why people are calling with these complaints right now. In spring, when buds are bursting, when bees are mating, when pollinations are happening all over the place, people aren't going to care what you say. It's not going to matter at all. It's the February doldrums. And I don't care if you live in a warm climate or a cold climate. That's exactly what it is.
I finally found that Kevin Wynn tape.
Oh, good.
With the Vietnamese Mariah Carey. Here it is now.
Hello. Okay. Okay. This gentleman was the one who won your tip on Don and Mike Vietnamese New Year show. You want to say hello to Don and Mike?
Hi, Don and Mike.
Okay.
And I hope you enjoy the tape.
Okay. Yeah, I guess he just want to call and thank you for the tip, and he will enjoy your show.
Kevin Wynn, another guy that really moves the show along.
Now listen, for the last time about this subject with the discussion, especially the use of the Lord's name, okay? I'm not going to get on here and tell you that, I go to church every week and I pray to Jesus and I love you. You know what? That's the truth. I shouldn't have to tell you that. That's the truth. I feel comfortable with it. If you don't feel comfortable with the language that I use on the show, or the way that I answer the telephones, or the way that I cut my hair, go screw yourself and turn the station. We're just doing a radio show. We're just goofing around.
It's only a radio program.
For goodness sake.
And it's a radio program that we think is going to conquer the world.
You know, I've been using Jesus' name on this program for a long time. I haven't been hit by lightning yet.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Hello.
Don and Mike.
Hey, Sioux City, Iowa. She wasn't from Sioux City, Iowa, that lady that just called.
Yes, she was. She was the head of Chamber of Commerce for Sioux City.
No, that was Pat Buchanan's wife. They're just here for the campaign.
All right, thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
Listen, everybody has different standards and different morals. And if you don't like my morals or my standards or his morals or his standards...
Sure.
Yeah, go screw yourselves. We're just doing a radio show here.
It's only a radio show. That's the important thing to remember. And, you know, seriously, if you know, people call and they say, hey, sometimes it gets a little rough. Of course it gets a little rough. That's what the volume control is for. And if you get fed up, that's what the channel changer is for. That's why they're on there. You do have the power. That's the way it works.
But don't call us and try to change the show. That's not going to happen. Hello? You know, maybe, who knows, maybe Lady in Sioux City, maybe you're right and I'm wrong. Maybe a year from now I'll be living in a box somewhere. Then you'll have a nice big laugh at my expense. But I don't think so. Hello?
Hello?
Hello, yes.
My name is Charlie. I'm a first-time caller. I'm calling from Salisbury, Maryland. And
yes.
I'm originally from the D.C. area. I've listened to you for the last 10 years, before Mike, even when you were on WAVA.
Of course.
And I'd just like to say that I think you guys are the greatest DJs in the world.
Yes, we are.
And I appreciate the way you express your opinions all
the
time.
You know the thing? Here's what people can't get about this program. You know, oh, hold on, she's back. Oh, the old bag is back. The reason this program is a success is because Mike and I do a real show and we talk like real people back and forth. Hello, hello, yes. Hello, hello, woman who is so repulsed to the show, but she's riveted to it. She has to keep calling and keep listening.
Well, I'm not really listening.
Yes, you are.
Yes, you are.
But so, I'm trying to figure out what was the comment about between my legs.
I said you're a 45-year-old woman, but I'm sure between your legs you're about 100.
Uh-huh. So can I ask you, when you say this is just a radio station...
Yes.
If you feel that it's just a radio station, why do you feel that talking and doing these things are helping our society?
I'm not here to help our society, lady. I'm here to do an entertaining radio program and get ratings. If you want that other stuff, listen.
Don't you feel that this is entertaining? I mean, I realize.
Listen, can I tell?
A lot of people will probably listen.
Can I tell you something? That our program is number one rated.
And I don't mean this as an insult.
Oh, we wouldn't want to be insulted. Just like all the Episcopalians aren't insulted when you didn't, you know, when you said it's not a church.
I tell you what. Can you tell me your pastor or priest or father? I don't know for sure.
I am not going to repeat his name on the program, but if you were a regular listener, you would... Hold on. Shut up a second. You would know, not only have I gone to church every week, I converted from being a Catholic... You're not listening. I converted from Catholic, from being a Catholic to being an Episcopalian. My preacher, my reverend, has called the program. My preacher and reverend has met everybody on this program. He has no problem. He does not judge me by what I do on an entertainment radio program.
Judge not, lest ye be judged.
Oh, I'm not judging you. I'm trying
to
figure out why you talking to all these other people and people listening to you.
You know, you have this little sweet demeanor about you, and you know, the old hag. You're not fooling anybody.
Why do you keep calling me names? Do you really think that's cool?
No. No. I'm trying to speak the truth. You're pissing me off.
So you're speaking the truth by calling me names.
You are a hag.
I am a hag.
At least in your attitude, at least in your mental attitude, you are a hag.
8 hours a day with the public, and I have a very good job, and nobody yet has called me an hag.
Well, you haven't pissed anybody? Have you called anybody and acted like you did when you called our show? Listen, honey, if you don't like it, change the station. Change the station.
Oh, I was asking the reason why you were using such bad language.
Because I love to. Because I love to use bad language. Because I personally love to. I love to cuss. I wish I could cuss all the words on the radio, but I can't.
Well,
and I'd call you an FB. That's what I call you, an FB.
Let me ask you, can I ask you a question, ma'am?
The station.
Ma'am, can I ask you a question?
And of course, FB stands for Friendly Beauty.
Hawaii.
Fun Buddy. I thought it was Fun Buddy.
My Fun Buddy.
Can I ask you a question, ma'am?
I don't even want to ask.
May I ask you a question?
Yes.
Why did you say that the Episcopalian Church is not a church? Why did you say that? What faith
that
are you, may I ask?
On my part.
What's that?
That was wrong on my part.
What faith are you?
I am Missouri Synod Lutheran. So that part...
Lutheran.
But I'm just trying to figure out what church...
Lutherans suck!
Allow
some... All the Lutherans know I'm kidding. This woman doesn't, though. Watch this. I'll get her going. Hey, Lutherans suck. Jesus doesn't like Lutherans. Jesus hates Lutherans.
You really think this is cool saying this?
It's cool.
That's
man.
The word
cool.
I would use, ma'am. Listen, Jesus Christ is not a dirty word.
Would you be willing to take my number in private and call your, I don't know for sure if it's Father's.
Yeah, listen, you, hold on, you hag. Hold on a second. I'm going to get my pastor on the phone right now to tell you that you are going straight to hell. Hold on. Hold on, you old hag. How dare you? Wait a minute. Somebody call, man, I don't have his phone number.
Larry Williams? Is that who you want to talk to?
No. Hey, now listen. Listen, my wonderful Hagette. Can you hold on? Because we really are going to get my pastor.
I'm willing to hold for something that I feel is very important.
And I think my pastor will tell you to each his own. And my pastor is an intelligent enough man to realize that this is an entertainment program.
That is what we do. We do an entertainment program and...
People find pornography... material and X-rated films.
Absolutely. Yes, people do find that entertaining. This is an entertaining enterprise. That is what we do. That is what we are paid to do. And if you don't like it, that is why the radio has a dial.
It's more to you than the Christian side, right?
Well, does everyone have to be a Christian? I think that's kind of a bigoted statement to make.
Say that. I said you get paid to do this. So what I'm asking...
Why don't you listen to a Christian radio station? I think that would be...
There's plenty of them.
That would be a fine choice.
Be on... When I came home from work.
That's
then
fine.
You should have changed the station.
Then turn it off and go elsewhere. But you're not going to change. You are not going to change this program.
You are infatuated with us. You are infatuated with this.
No.
Yes, you are.
Right.
See, if you weren't, you would have given up on this inane argument.
And our society needs help, and they do not need...
You know who? Our society needs help from people like you, you communist.
You
commie. You want to... You know what you would like? I bet you want that V-chip, don't you?
That
what?
10-year-old would have no manners, and I bet you would find this 10-year-old rude, and you would not accept that behavior from a child. That these
no, of course I don't accept it from my child. My child's not doing a radio show.
Do it.
You know,
it only be a
can I tell you,
you guys that
you know you
out there listening.
You know, you complain that
serious.
Jesus, I swear to God, you are a motor mouth.
Well, I tell you what. Maybe it's time that you run into somebody like yourself.
Maybe it's time that you turn the knob on the radio.
Hey, you are going to take care of everything. You are going to be the personal crusader who's going to take care of everything.
Now
you know,
need a hold, man.
No. Now we've gone for him. I want to get my reverend on the phone to tell this woman that she's going to burn in hell.
How old is your son?
23.
Does he like the show?
For sure, if it was him.
Does he like the show?
I don't know. I'm just saying it was on the station, and when I turned it on, it was on the station, and I didn't turn it only because I thought...
Listen, my reverend is not at home.
...that I usually listen to.
Listen, why don't you just bag it? Why don't you just shove it?
Well, I'm just waiting. You told me to hold on. You were having your minister call me.
And my minister is not available at the moment because I didn't know that the 666 lady would be calling the show today. I didn't have it arranged.
I didn't hear that. The sick lady, or what did you say?
666, as in the devil, as in Satan.
Well,
Satan.
I think you would know what that number meant, I guess.
Yes, I know what that means. Because I...
I am Satan. I am Satan. I am Lucifer.
He is the mark of the devil on his forehead.
You can say it like this. Go ahead, Mike. I'll turn your microphone way up. Hi. This is Satan's best friend.
Can I ask you how many... you're only on for what, maybe half hour a day, right?
Yeah, that's right.
A half hour a day. That's right,
stupid. Half hour a day.
Half hour a day.
How long are you honestly on the air?
Your son's a big fan of the show, lady.
Your son likes it.
You know that your son loves the show. You just can't stand it.
When I came home from work, this station...
Listen. Okay, for the last time, listen, will you shut up for a minute? You know what you should do if you're a responsible parent? And you hear your son with something you don't like, you turn off the radio and you talk to your son. You don't call the disc jockeys.
No, I'm only calling the disc jockeys.
Your son is 23?
Yeah, that's what I said.
Hold on. I'm going to call my reverend right now, you old bag.
Hold on. All right.
He's going to love this.
Hey, do you think you'll lose your parking space after this lady?
I got that church gala this weekend. They got that same thing again this weekend.
Is this where you have to, wear the cowboy hat and overalls? The bazaar? Or is that during the summer?
No, that's the country fair that I work on every year. Another one of the many duties I do in the church, where they don't have a problem with what I say on the radio, because they know it's entertainment!
You're going to the 8 o'clock service, right?
Yeah, that's him. That was him on there, but he's obviously...
I've met your reverend. I've met your pastor. Very nice man.
Listen, I'm not going to drag you. This is stupid.
Yeah, don't drag him into
this. Listen, you can go to hell. You can just go to hell, lady. Drop dead. Don't listen to the program anymore, you old hag. I'll do a jig on your grave. Now get off my phone. You're never allowed to listen. You're never allowed to call again. And if you do, I'm going to get a voodoo doll and I'm going to incite Lucifer on you. Do you hear me?
Like, I'm real concerned about you being able to do that.
You better do that, because I'm the devil, baby. I am the devil.
Not a society, but no, a lot of us are still decent people out here.
Ah, you hag, you don't know decent. You knew decent about 100 years ago, when you were born.
So I'm still waiting for the minister. I didn't...
I just told you, my minister is not available!
You really ought to work on your listening skills.
Well, I guess if you would tone down your ear, tone down your mouth, and be for those.
Tone down your mouth. Yeah, I'm taking notes for Mr. Mellon.
You're an annoying woman. And what kind of loser is your son? What's he doing still living with you at 23? Why doesn't he get out of that house? No wonder he hasn't been able to make anything of himself living with you.
He was nearly killed in a work accident. Yes. And obviously, you know...
He's never going to recover being with you.
My God, you people are sick. I know you have no children.
No, I have an 11-year-old son.
No, there's no way.
No, I have a daughter. We both have children.
We have children.
Okay, and if your 20-year-old was nearly...
So your son was
in an accident. I'm very sorry. It doesn't change the fact that you're an old hag. Let him make up his own mind about what he wants to do.
Get back to this calling me an old hag.
And somebody else in the family, let him get a word in edgewise, all right? You do all the talking. Let somebody else talk. Let somebody in your family, seriously, the next family get together for just a change. Let somebody else get a word in edgewise.
How about my family get-togethers?
Oh, I know about your family get-togethers. You sit at the center of the table. No one else can say anything, okay. And you have an opinion about everything.
That with your talking and your conversation, your family together, togethers. That anybody else gets a word in edgewise.
I don't talk. I just eat. I eat like a pig. I suck down more food and more alcohol, and that's all I do. I just sit there. I guess you're against alcohol, too, right?
Let me make another prediction. I bet you're a big fan of Kathy Lee Gifford, aren't you?
To be quite honest with you, I work 40 hours a week plus, and I know who she is, but I do not know her programs, so I don't know for sure what...
You need to wake up and smell. You know what? You should fly to Washington and spend the weekend with me. I bet I could get permission from my wife to treat you the way that you need to be treated. You know what I mean? Wine you, dine you, romance you, bring you out of this hardened shell that you're in.
In a hardened shell?
Yeah. You're like the boy in the bubble.
Like, decent conversation, and I feel that it was... I'm just trying to find out why you talk this way on public radio.
Because you got everyone mad. Don't you understand that? You got everyone mad.
No, I did happen to walk that...
No, you don't... I mean, that's not your interpretation.
I did.
We know when somebody gets us ticked off.
defend me.
Listen, if you don't like the show, turn it off.
Evidently, there was one that was on my
show. And you know, I've also got a theory about you, ma'am. This is certainly not the first. This is not the first radio show that you have called. You are a lady that calls radio. Hey! You are the first. You have called lots of radio shows, haven't you?
No, actually.
Yes, you have.
I bet you complain about a lot of things.
Another thing you've said, that you've got all these predictions and you know everything about me, and you don't know anything about me.
The only prediction that I've got for you is very soon your mouth will be full of dirt. That would be the only prediction I have for you. Very soon they will be putting you in a box.
Would you consider your mouth full of?
They will be putting you in a box.
What your mouth?
Do you hear me? They will put you inside a cedar chest and they will bury you.
Well,
and you will have maggots eating your eyeballs.
Well, I guess that's what happens to all of us.
Yes, that is true.
That is very true.
So yes.
It will happen to me, but it will happen to you a lot faster than it happens to me.
Well, that's true, because it's, you know...
Because you are an old hag who should not be listening to the show. Why don't you go find Paul Harvey? That's more up your alley.
And now she's getting air. Now she's coming up for air.
I was trying to get a word in edgewise before. What are you...
Jesus Christ, you have the biggest mouth. You know, for calling and complaining that I don't let anybody get a word in edgewise, you sure do talk a lot, lady.
Consider your mouth full up.
You know, you have no ability to have any kind of dialogue or exchange. We let you talk.
Can
I tell you something? It's no wonder to me that there's no man in that house.
Anybody can do that.
What happened? Did your husband leave you?
Children that can go out and fight and, you know.
Did your husband leave you?
What?
Did your husband leave you?
Did my husband leave me? What do you mean?
I can't imagine a man who could stand being married to you. When did he leave you?
You've got to be kidding. You really grope at absolutely anything.
When did he leave you?
You know, you really...
When did he divorce you?
Yeah, you've hit it on the head now.
I'm not divorced. I am married.
Separated?
No, I am married.
I bet he's getting some right now.
What, is he in the corner with a gag? Like with a bandana in his mouth?
Well, you know, I really know what you guys are doing here, and I am above that. So you can...
No, you're very much above it. You've proved that. And you hate the program so much, you've been on the air now for 30 minutes.
Yeah, that's fine.
You're above it, lady. You've been in our mud for 30 minutes on this show. You're really above it.
It takes a real man, and I realize you haven't reached that age, and people will have patience with you until, you know, you become a man with manhood.
Mm-hmm. Ah, the manhood. Back to manhood, yeah.
Not a man. Yes, we're not a man. You're correct. We're not men. We're not men. You're absolutely right. I can't wait till you die.
Thing we agree on anyway.
I can't wait till you die. I'm going to take a big crap on your grave.
Sickness.
It's sickness.
There's
that's right. It's sickness that... Hey, listen. Hold on. One thing.
If you go over
it... Hey, lady! If it is
so... How many X-rated movies do you get yourself onto?
Listen, can you hold on so we can argue with you some more? Because I hear our ratings going up right now anytime we get a nut like you.
A nut...
And you know what? You'll hold on through the commercials because you're thriving on all of this.
And you know, you seem to be obsessed with pornography. How long have you been obsessed with pornography? That's the second time you've mentioned it.
I think you.
No.
You have brought up pornography five times.
I'm saying I didn't bring it up.
Yeah, you brought it up. You brought it up the first time.
How many times have you?
You brought it up the first time. And you brought it up the second time. That's the second time you have talked about pornography.
I think. You don't hear a word anybody says, do you?
You did. That's the truth. We are listening to you. You love pornography.
I didn't say that I love.
You talk about blasphemy. You love pornography.
How can you watch that, Phil?
X-rated movie.
How can you watch X-rated movies?
Like, you know, pornographic flicks.
Oh, there she goes. Pornographic flicks.
The third time, ma'am, you are obsessed with pornography. I can't believe it.
Understand.
Listen, I'm going to hang up on you, but I'm sure you're going to call back.
You're not a man. And men will do that.
Oh, now she's getting into the real sexy talk now.
I know what you want. You want us to treat you like men, but I've got news for you. I don't make love with any woman who's under 100.
There's no way that...
Over 100.
Over 100.
You know what I mean.
I bet you've got an incredible... We should introduce you to Daryl Nichols. He has quite a collection.
There's a lot of people out there that obviously I wouldn't know.
Listen, ma'am. You're never allowed to call the show again. You're never allowed to listen. I'm hanging up on you now. I know you will call back again. You will not be allowed to call. As far as I'm concerned, you can rot in hell.
You ever, to every chance I get.
Of course you will. You know why? Because you love pornography.
I work 40 hours with the public.
You love me. You love him.
I think
face it.
Male ego talking. You've got a lot of ego there.
Sure do, baby.
Someday you'll be able to work it out and get, you know, some psychiatric help.
Yeah, someday, someday. Mm-hmm.
I've already had plenty of that.
Well, it didn't work.
And someday they'll be shutting that box on you. So listen to yourself on the radio now.
Pretty exciting to hear yourself on the radio, isn't it?
At the front door, and I was trying to motion.
Nah, you were listening to yourself on the radio.
Front door.
Liar, liar, pants on fire.
Oh, I suppose five or six we would resort to that liar, liar, pants on fire. And I can't believe males are honestly saying.
I said, do us a favor, just die. Die right now. Just die.
Compulsive liar. That's the word I was looking for. You're a compulsive liar.
I'm hanging up on you now, but I'm sure you'll call back because you can't get enough. Now,
shower time.
It's 5 after 6.
We have been going on. Well, you know what it's like when we get a call like that.
My God, who is this? Hello.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello.
How you doing, pal?
Great.
Hey, I'm calling from California.
Pretty fantastic phone call that was, huh?
Hey, unbelievable. Enough's enough with her. Hey, I just want to say, I've just been listening to you guys for a month now, and I'm working the graveyard shift this month, and there's very few people on TV or radio that can make me laugh. And you guys do it, and I just want to say thanks.
Thank you, my friend.
For those, I just want to say one thing. For all of you that listen, that enjoy living vicariously through us with those arguments, that if it removes some stress from your day, we are grateful. That's that really is the real purpose of putting those calls on the air.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello.
Hello.
This is Mike.
Yes.
How you doing?
Okay.
You know what? These people don't understand. This is entertainment. You'll never find it on the radio except for here. On this station here.
Amen.
For anybody that's ever been like in an apartment building or a townhouse or whatever, and you hear this incredible argument going on next door, and you absolutely drop everything and
stop. To hear
it?
Yeah.
Exactly.
That really, I mean, we have to explain, that is why we do that. That's why we put that on the air.
Everybody knows that her arguments are totally wrong.
Not to say that we're not legitimately ticked off at the lady, because we are.
No, but
we leave that on the air because, you know.
It's good radio.
We know
that
she's
been a setup, too.
It could have been a setup, but it wasn't. Trust me on that one.
She was real. And I guarantee she'll call back. Thank you for the call.
All right.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
There's nothing about the relationship that I have with Jimmy that surprises me.
I don't know that anybody other than Jerry and myself really know what the relationship is. The relationship is such that we work very well together. We're both highly motivated. We both want to be the very best. We both are somewhat egotistical. We have great pride, and so sometimes we're going to clash.
Do you consider yourself friends?
Well, I think that, friends are relative. I think that Jimmy Johnson and I are friends, close friends, confidants, no.
In your book, you refer to it as a working relationship.
And that's really what it is. The facts are that real close friendships can compromise sometimes the success of an operation.
You know, a lot of people had a misconception. You know, they looked at it as being a, quote, friendship, and I was the coach because I was Jerry's friend. But I'm the coach because Jerry felt like I'd be the best guy to be the coach.
Jimmy quoted as calling you a frustrated football coach. Are you?
Oh, I think he's accurate there. I don't think that I would have bought the Dallas Cowboys had I not been very interested and wanted to be involved in the coaching and very involved in the management of the team and very involved with football.
You thought you had to. Could you fire Jimmy?
Well, of course I have the relationship with him that's my job. And yes, I could if it were in my best judgment and for the benefit of this team.
You know, I go from day to day and not too far off in the future. I know eventually where I'll be. Eventually I'll be on a beach somewhere relaxing. But when that day comes, I don't know.
When you look at the black race, black people are very gifted in what we call worship and celebration. A lot of us like to dance, and if you go to a black church, you see people jumping up and down because they really get into it. White people were blessed with the gift of structure and organization. You guys do a good job of building businesses and things of that nature. And you know how to tap into money pretty much better than a lot of people do around the world. Hispanics were gifted in family structure. And you can see a Hispanic person, and they could put 20 or 30 people in one home. They were gifted in the family structure. When you look at the Asian is very gifted in creation, creativity, and inventions. If you go to Japan or any Asian country, they can turn a television into a watch. They're very creative. Then you look at the Indians. They've been very gifted in the spirituality. When you put all of that together, guess what it makes? It forms a complete image of God.
I'd like to thank the people of Wisconsin for their prayers, and those of you that gave me my presumption of innocence from the start. I'd like to thank my wife, my family and friends who've stood by me since day one. I'd like to thank my legal team, everybody involved in the case, the Boyle family. Marna, Ellen, Jerry Jr., I love you all. I'd like to thank John Drana, one of my best friends, who was there from day one, who stood by me. I love him like a brother. To Bridget and Jonathan, you guys are the best.
Don and Mike are back, live in studio, tomorrow. Until then, it's the best of Don and Mike.
We were in Ocean City over the weekend, in Ocean City, Maryland, and we took a drive on Sunday. We went to Rehoboth Beach. Now, as you're going up the corridor there, it's Ocean City, Fenwick Island, then you get to Rehoboth.
Progressively more teeth, isn't it, as you move up the coast?
Yeah, like no teeth on the people at Ocean City.
You go all the way to the end, like to where those boats go out to sea.
They have 32 teeth in the mouth. But when you're in Ocean City, you got a 5 to 6 tooth average, probably. So we went all the way to where there's the most teeth.
Right.
Okay. Good. And it was me and my wife and my son and a friend of his and the in-laws and the whole gang of people.
Mm-hmm.
We went to eat at a restaurant up in Rehoboth. And we're sitting there having a nice, you know, boring dinner.
Right.
And, of course, because my mother and father-in-law are there, it's taking a long time. Because you know how old people are.
You mean lengthy ordering process?
No,
is that what it is?
No, lengthy eating. It's like, because, you know.
Oh, lengthy eating.
Because they never know. It might be their last meal. So they always take a long time. I mean, like, everyone at the table was totally done with everything. We'd even had coffee. My mother-in-law was still cutting her steak.
You're going to get a phone call. You know that, don't you?
That's okay. It's all right. At least I didn't say I'm buying her a coffin.
Right.
So we're just waiting for her to get finished up, and the kids are off playing some video games, and all of a sudden, Bart comes around the corner and says, "Dad, there is somebody famous in this restaurant." And I said, "Really? More famous than your dear old dad? Who could that be?" He said, "I don't know who he is, but we're pretty sure he's famous. Look over there in the corner." So I look over in the corner, and goddamn if it's not Vanilla Ice.
Was he holding court or anything like that?
Here's the deal. The waiter came over, and I said to him, "Is that Vanilla Ice there?" And he said, "Yes. Vanilla Ice is playing at the Bottle and Cork tonight."
Oh, okay. That's a logical venue for him.
It's like a biker bar. You know, it's for bands that are either coming up or bands that are on the way down.
Sure. Right.
And I was standing there talking with the waiter for a second, and I said, "What's he like?" And he said, "Well, I don't know. I don't have his table."
Right.
But the girl that has his table said that he sent back his iced tea, he sent back his salad, and then he just sent back his entree.
Huh.
Right? So I said, "Okay, well, thank you." So we're watching him. Now, this is the new thing. All we're doing is watching Vanilla Ice.
Okay.
Still looks the same.
Right.
His hair is brown now. It's not that platinum blonde anymore.
Doesn't have that, like, triangle coming out of his temple that he had before?
No, but it's that straight buzz cut. No pun intended,
right.
Buzz. And sitting there with a University of Miami jacket on.
Was he with a hottie?
No, he's with, like, it looked like his manager.
Okay.
Like his Don Ephraim. Okay. His agent, maybe.
Yeah.
And he had a University of Miami jacket on, hat on backwards, and almost on cue. We noticed him. We all start looking over at him. And then, swear to God, he goes, "What the F is this?" Just as loud as that. And takes his plate up in the air and down on the floor. Swear to God.
Whoa.
Like, everybody in the restaurant turns around and looks at him. And he says, "You can't get a goddamn thing right in this restaurant." You can't get an effing thing right in here, man. You can't do it. I mean, screaming.
He's raving
screaming.
Out, having a full-fledged meltdown.
Threw his plate up in the air. Plate breaks on the ground. Food all over the place. It's like in a movie when something happens and everybody freezes.
Right.
Everybody in the whole restaurant was just looking at him and not saying anything. And then he realized that. And he said, what the F are you looking at? What the F are you looking at? Right? Nobody's saying anything.
Oh,
everybody's
my,
like, oh
God.
My God. I turned to freeze. I said, this is the best dinner we've ever had. I can't believe this. So then the maitre d' comes over. This, you know, to call him a maitre d' is an injustice to real maitre d's because
right.
he's a skinny, pimply-faced kid who's working there for the summer.
So to the type of restaurant you're in, this is kind of a casual family-style restaurant, or is it an upscale restaurant?
It's more of an upscale, but there are families in there and stuff.
Okay.
It's definitely sitting
But it's
down.
A nice place.
Yeah, it's not diner food.
Okay.
But it's also not, you know... It's real fancy.
Okay.
It's like just, it's a normal restaurant. Right?
Middle of the road.
Yeah, and most of the restaurants up there are real nice.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody's just kind of looking at this, and nobody's gone to pick up the plate, and there's food all over the floor, and there
oh
was
my God.
A bottle of steak sauce that had gotten tossed off the table that was broken on the floor. And so this kid who's at the front desk, the kid who says, you know, table for how many, hold on, please.
Right.
He goes over. And now I don't know what was said at this point because they're, you know, across the restaurant. I just see him going over. And he goes, we see him go, and then we hear, get your effing hands off me! F you! And the guy never touched Vanilla Ice.
Right.
Never touched him. So the kid goes, throws his hands up in the air, and he leaves. 2 seconds later, here come two of Delaware State's finest through the door.
Oh!
Two state cops came in, and they walked over and said something to him, and he left.
Oh,
wow.
God.
Yeah. And then after he left, it's like nobody said anything. The
right.
The place was silent
sure.
for maybe 10 minutes while this was going on. From the time he
what
threw the
show.
Plate.
What a floor show.
From the time he threw the plate to the time he told everybody what the F are you looking at, said,
right.
F off, get your F and hands off me. When the cops came over and obviously said, listen, you're going to have to leave. He got up. You know, and when he walked that way. You know when a white guy tries to walk like a brother? You know
right.
when he does that? Like,
sure.
Yo, I'm down with that. Like walking out like this, kind of strutting like a rooster
right.
on his way out, looking at everybody. Yeah, what you doing, man? What you? As soon as he leaves, all of a sudden, it's like the whole place goes back to life. And you hear everybody go,
oh, sure.
What did we just witness?
What was that? So then the waiter came over and he said, that's not the first time. He said that Rick Nielsen from Cheap Trick turned a table over last summer.
That must be, they must have some kind of an agreement where the artists get to eat in there, probably.
I think so. It must have been a trade because we noticed that he didn't leave any money
yeah.
and he didn't give a credit card or anything.
Oh, God, that's great.
His agent didn't tell him to stay cool or anything.
No. His agent sat there and looked absolutely terrified while this was going on.
Not a big enough star to be throwing those kind of fits.
Yeah, but it was great then.
A little angry probably that he's on the way back down.
Sure.
My son and his friend thought it was the greatest thing they'd ever seen in their life. They're like, I can't believe that. It's fantastic.
Wow. Unbelievable.
And all I heard all weekend was, when can we go back to that restaurant again?
Yeah.
I'm sure that doesn't happen all the time, boys.
Wow. That's a full-fledged meltdown.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Very, cool. Very cool. Hey, a round of applause for Mr. Vanilla Ice.
There he is. Right there.
Yeah,
there he is right there.
Wow.
Yeah. So the waiter came over. He said, what was the problem? He said, I don't know. The guy at first, he sent back his iced tea. Then he sent back his salad. And he ordered a steak sandwich and he sent it back. I said, what was the problem? He said, we said he wanted a medium rare and it was just medium.
Oh, man.
So that's why he, like, threw the plate up in the air.
Wouldn't it be an interesting world if every time you ordered something medium or medium rare and you got it cooked differently, that everybody would throw a fit like that? That it was perfectly socially acceptable to throw a fit? You'd be able to get that, like, 6 or 7 times an hour in a restaurant.
But there are, like a lot of retired people in there that were flipped out by this.
I can imagine.
You know, like, my mother-in-law, I spent the whole rest of the night explaining
who he was.
Yeah, because you're like... Why did he do that? I said, well, because he's a troubled rock star. So he's not even a rock star. He had one record out. I said, he had a record where he sampled another record. And then I had to, what's sampling?
Oh, right.
Okay, sampling was when somebody makes a record, then somebody makes a record with that record, and they change the words. Well, how do they do that?
You know, when he was walking by, the only thing I would have done if he was really making a stage, maybe look up to him and go, ding, 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 ding.
Oh, I didn't have the guts to do that. Especially the way he was walking out like that. He's fist balled up. He's walking out. Yeah, you know, and just the vibe he was giving out was, you know, what you looking at? Yeah.
Right.
yeah, I'm cool.
Yeah, have a nice show at the bottom of court. So we drove. Then we drove by on the way home. We went down Route 1, and yeah, sure is. There's his name up on the marquee tonight.
Unbelievable.
One Night Only, Vanilla Ice.
That's pretty funny.
It's a pretty wacky celebrity sighting.
And nobody, you know, nobody went anywhere near the guy. And nobody said anything to him.
Nobody, except this maitre d'.
As a maitre d', I give credit to the maitre d'.
This poor kid. And I'm not exactly saying pimples all over his face.
Right.
And he had on, you know, the red vest and like a tuxedo shirt and a tuxedo tie. And he walked up real sheepishly. Like when it was, you know, can you please leave?
Sure.
Please knock this off. And it was obvious that someone had already called the cops.
Right.
Because as soon as he walked back to his spot at the front, two of them came through with a Smokey the Bear hat.
Yeah. But he went with them.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
And then.
That's so cool.
Thank God Bart didn't do this. Bart said, Dad, I was going to go up and ask him if he knew you and Uncle Mike.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Because you like it when celebrities get asked if they know who you guys are.
We certainly do, whether it's a positive response or a negative response.
No, please, absolutely not.
Ice, ice, baby.
Ice, baby. Yeah, you know, made my weekend.
You really set him off. You know, if a waiter walks over, excuse me, sir, would you like more ice in your drink?
What a jag-off he is.
Oh, sure.
Really?
I mean, no matter how big you are, you don't act like that.
And I just got done seeing him a couple weeks ago on that VH1, Where Are They Now, or Behind the Music, one of those shows.
Right.
That's all they run on VH1 now.
Mm-hmm.
They run no more videos. All they have now is either Behind the Music, Where Are They Now.
You have me hooked on that. You have me. I watch that, you know, ever since you started watching that, I will, because it really is perpetual. They
24 hours a day, that's all they run is Behind the Music on
VH1. I take it you've seen the Boy George one?
Oh, many times. It's a good one. About how he had the affair with the drummer in the band.
Yes, and then when he really lost it, when he hit rock bottom and he was...
When he was all powdery and stuff that time.
And he was totally incoherent. So, and it seemed that George O'Dowd was in the middle of the press conference and would ramble incoherently, and then while he was at the press conference, he would occasionally just pass out. And you see Boy George going, all right, we're going around the thing, and we don't.
He
closes his eyes, and his head goes forward.
His chin just goes on his chest. That's a good one. I missed the new one they had. I saw the ads. They're really scraping the bottom of the barrel, though. Eric Burdon and the Animals.
Oh, I saw the promo for that one.
Yeah.
They look wild, though.
Yeah, the commercials really are like, you know, they did absolutely everything that they could do when they were rock stars.
And, you know, even those guys, you know, they weren't the Beatles, obviously. They weren't nearly as big as the Beatles, but they had that anti-Beatle attitude
because
they wanted to be the Beatles.
Right.
And they look crazy. They really do.
What's so funny is when you see them interviewed now, though, and they're all old, angry, bitter men, because it's 30 years after, I mean... Who the hell is Eric Burdon to begin with,
Absolutely.
Right? He's a blip on the radar screen, but now he's mad at everybody because his career is over.
He is very, very
and
sad.
And the promo I saw was like, he's like, yeah, well, people stopped buying my records, and, you know, I had all the groupies and all the money.
We were cooler than the Beatles. We were cool. Not those outfits, boys. Not those outfits that you were wearing.
Those nice Nehru jacket things. Yeah. They all kind of look like Roy Orbison a little bit.
They did. They did. And Eric Burdon himself, he's just got a crazy look to his face. He really, he looked like he was probably a wild man when he was, you know, when they were in their AD.
If you want to see a real funny one, watch the David Cassidy Behind the Music.
I'd like to see that one.
That is a funny one, man.
They pull no punches on those documentaries. They really don't. It's interesting. They really research all the stuff.
No, and the stars try to, of course, present themselves in the best possible light, but through clever editing... Even when a guy's trying to make himself look good, they still end up stabbing him in the back.
Oh, man, and this Boy George thing where he's supposed to have, I guess he's supposed to be in whiteface. You know, he's supposed to wear the powder all over his face. And he had like a circle of it, like around the top of his face.
That's the funniest thing I've ever seen in his press conference.
And the rest of it didn't look anything like Boy George. It looked like a guy that needed a shave. And he was just going,
I saw another good one, too, with Elton John. Have you seen that one?
No, I haven't seen that one.
Where they had, first off, they got all the footage, like Elton John coming out in his... A queer Donald Duck suit. Remember when he did that? His big sequiny Donald Duck suit.
Right.
And they're talking to his mom, who I feel bad for because they're interviewing her, and she's saying that they had. Remember when we did his big L.A. show at Dodger Stadium?
Yes, huge.
He came out with that glittery L.A. Dodger suit on, and they had his mom in the crowd when he was singing your song.
Right.
They're doing a documentary, and they showed her crying and stuff. Everybody thought that she was crying because she was so proud of him. She's crying because the night before, he took 60 sleeping pills and tried to kill himself.
Oh, man!
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yes, Don and Mike, I wanted to point out, first of all, that Stanley Kubrick directed Spartacus.
Wow.
But secondly, I have a question.
Oh, so it wasn't Cecil B. DeHomo?
No, it was Stanley Kubrick. It was one of his early works. But I just wanted to ask a question on behalf of all the women in America.
That's Stanley Kubrick.
Stanley Pubic.
That brings my point up. Why do they leave the bathroom so messy when after they've used it?
Yeah. What do you mean, honey?
An angry woman.
Pubic hair is on the toilet.
Oh. No, you got the wrong man. You don't have it. You know, Don, Rob, Buzz, and myself, we are completely smooth.
Well, I know
we're hairless.
By choice. We're hairless, so there wouldn't be any of that nasty hair that we all hate so much.
Why do all the other men do that?
I don't know how come all the other men don't go hairless by choice as we do.
Mm-hmm. But they don't even bother to clean up afterwards. It's disgusting.
Are you married?
I've been married 3 times.
Well, you know what? We look like a young YMCA swim team. That's what we look like.
And these men you've married, have they all been Greek?
Well, actually, one of them was Jewish, and 2 of them were Italian.
Mm-hmm. The Italians are very hairy.
Yes. Hairy guys.
Very hairy,
nasty little hairs.
And you're bitter?
Well, it's just a question. I mean, women go to so much trouble to keep things nice and pretty.
Well, is it just the hair? Is it just the hair you have a problem with?
No, actually, I could go into detail, but it's a family show, right?
No, not really. And that's why we got together, the four of us, me, Mike, Buzz, and Robbie. We got together. We said, you know what, guys? Let's make a pact right now to shave all of our body hair.
Right.
To make ourselves smooth for our ladies.
Just like we started with the, and we shaved each other before the show about every other day.
Mm-hmm. No, I just mean when you do leave the pubes there, just clean them up.
It started with us when we spent most of our weekends cycling, and we heard that if you shaved your legs, you'd get a better, wind dynamic.
And less irritation.
And then one day I just mentioned to Mike, one day when he was wearing a tank top, I said, what, can I tell you something?
Mm-hmm.
You'd look damn sexy if you'd please let me shave your underarms.
And I said, you're kidding. And he looked at me real serious. And I, it was on a whim. And I after he did, I said, my God, that feels great having smooth. And, I said, hey, take it all. And that's when we all shaved each other.
I don't mean to be difficult. I'm not saying you should shave yourself. I'm just saying when
we don't shave ourselves, we shave each other.
You shave each other. That's the best way to ensure maximum safety.
You're kidding me, right?
No. We started shaving each other about 3 years ago.
And if we all shave, then Christine oils us down.
Yeah. And let me tell you something. I mean, you walk from one room to the next and you go faster. It's incredible, the aerodynamic properties that it has, and also the way it makes you feel. It makes you feel real clean and smooth.
You're delightfully full of it, as usual.
No, listen, we're totally shaved. No body hair on any of the men on this show.
But
a woman would understand where I'm coming from. Men do not get it. It's genetically impossible for you to understand what we deal with.
No, it's totally easy for us to understand the mind of a woman because we are completely smooth. Some men are. But you have to have a good lotion or a good oil to put on yourself, because otherwise...
And I don't want you to get the wrong idea. Christine oils our shoulder area,
right.
Our pecs, our upper torso.
Yeah, we take care of that. That's the one thing we do for ourselves. Yeah. Let's not go hog wild here.
We're doing the show right now without our shirts on.
Can I ask you a question?
Oiled, glistening, hairless.
God damn it,
we're looking good.
Those abs look great.
If you're talking about nether regions, that's where, we moisturize down there ourselves. Well, there was the one time I had the shoulder surgery.
Okay, be serious. You watch the story.
He is being serious.
How did Nora betray Bo that way?
Well, now you're talking about One Life to Live?
Well, yes.
I feel sorry for Nora.
Oh, not me. She went to Sam and had Sam plant his fertile seed inside.
She was doing it all for the love of Bo.
Oh, that's BS.
She was doing it all for the love of Bo.
I'm so glad you watch soap operas. It makes you so human.
You are the Nora lover of all time, Mike.
I do. I think she's the greatest, and she is so pathetic right now. And Bo, get over it. She was trying to help you because she loved you.
You know what?
She was worried that she would lose Bo.
I hope Asa takes care of Nora. And I know you know what I mean when I say have Asa take care of her. That's right. I'm talking.
Are you talking?
I'm talking miscarriage.
Oh, really?
That's right. I think that Asa should...
You didn't see how it ended today.
You didn't see the ending.
Something horrible.
Hurt Nora.
Yeah, something horrible is going to happen to Nora.
Really? Asa involved?
Nora's sitting out there crying, thinking about Bo, and all of a sudden you look in the woods and there's this kid smoking a cigarette, giving her a real evil eye. So I think tomorrow...
Oh, she'll lose the baby tomorrow.
Yeah, something tomorrow is going to happen.
And of course she'll adopt Jessica and Christian's baby.
Oh, you mean the pig nose girl?
Oh, as Rob says, the grown woman with 5-year-old teeth.
The girl that looks just like Vicky, right?
The girl who can't act her way out of a shoe.
She's terrible. How did she get that job?
She's been on there since she's 8 years old. I saw her in The Goodbye Girl back when I lived in New York.
How come there are so many ugly women on that show, One Life to Live? You name me one piece of ass
there, it
on
exist.
One Life to Live, and you can't count Clint Buchanan's ex-wife.
I like the
girl,
blonde
the
lady.
The Spanish girl who Christian likes.
No.
She's got big bug eyes.
She does. She's got big, bushy eyebrows.
Oh, what about Vicky Buchanan?
Vicky Buchanan?
I'm only joking. I can't think of one either.
All right, there's no good... This is the show that Mike and I watch every day in the office because it's the show that's on from 2 to 3 o'clock.
Right.
On Channel 7. The show's called One Life to Live, and we watch it every day.
And the last couple of weeks, it's really actually been good. It's been entertaining to watch.
We're like doing work and stuff in the office, but it's always on in the background. And in the last couple of weeks, there's this lady, Nora, and she got impregnated by this guy, Sam.
Sam.
And then Sam's ex-wife stood up when Nora was getting an award to be woman.
And told everybody that she'd lied to Bo and that she really was. Well, she said that she'd had an affair on Bo, and then Bo said, what about the baby? And that's when Nora admitted to him in front of everybody. It was so embarrassing that the baby was Sam's baby.
Mm. Yeah.
But she was doing it to help Bo after his other son was killed.
But the baby might be Bo's because Lindsay fixed the test
results. No. Bo can't have kids.
No, you're wrong. Lindsay fixed the test results.
What do you mean Lindsay fixed the test? I didn't know that.
When did that happen?
She did it so that Nora would, you know, be confused.
Mike, let me just stop for a second here. Do you think anybody besides this Hausfrau and you and me knows what we're talking about right
only
now?
Only the men in our audience that are shaved smooth.
All right, listen, I got to go. Goodbye, honey.
Thank you.
Goodbye. Oh, Christ, I don't believe we just wasted 10 minutes talking about One Life to Live.
Oh, dreamy.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, did you guys forget you're doing a show? Get on with the housewife gabbing already.
Okay, come on.
Pussy.
Come on, F you.
Hey,
come on, F you.
I bet you've never shaved yourself.
F you.
Well... Hey, did you guys know in Spartacus, if you look real close, you can see Kirk Douglas's nipples?
Right. Okay. Hello. He's calling us pussies.
Hello.
No kidding.
Hey, I thought I hung up on you.
I noticed. You could see Spartacus's nipples.
I'm Spartacus.
Spartacus. Come into the bathhouse. We'd like to check your nipples.
My nipples. Hello, Don and Mike.
Don and Mike?
Yeah.
Hey, about the MRI thing. I tore my ACL about 2.5-3 years ago, and I had the same deal where the lady says, hey, you want me to turn the radio on? So I told her to put it on something to keep me awake, and a lady puts it on, like, classical music. I end up falling asleep, and then half an hour into the darn thing, I involuntarily kick, and you know they probably told you not to move around at all.
Right. Mm.
Well, I had to sit back in there for another 2 hours to make them redo the thing. So I was in that little tube for 3 hours getting my knee done.
Well, I'll tell you something else that happened to me yesterday, and this is no exaggeration.
Mm-hmm.
I was getting aroused yesterday.
I was just going to say, it's good that another involuntary thing
didn't
happen.
And if that's not the most embarrassing, because they make you take all your clothes off and you have to put on a hospital gown.
Was it a lady attendant?
Yeah. And it had nothing to do with her, though. It was just the
car show?
Just the motion and the way that the gown was draped on me. All of a sudden, I know.
That cool breeze running up.
Yes, and there is like a cool breeze that comes up like someone's got a little fan going like...
Oh,
up,
yeah, and you're sitting on that cold little bed and it's vibrating.
Up your pant leg.
He's going to have to live with this boner for a long time.
I'm serious.
Sounds good.
Great what? Show.
I'm just thinking about something. A medical procedure I had done one time with two women. I had one that was... little bigger than the other one, and I was concerned about it down here. One of my
one of your nads,
one of my beanbags,
right?
And so they actually gave me a little sonogram just to check it out to make sure everything is okay, because you should check yourself for that type of thing. So I walk in to get the procedure done. It was called a scrotal sonogram, and I walk in and I'm waiting out in the lobby, and I'm uptight about this anyway. And I walk in, it's two women. It's two women that do
right.
this. That do, no, it was not all right. It was. It freaked me out beyond being freaked
that
out.
That probably made you shrink a little bit more, didn't
it? Oh, absolutely. I mean, it was. And, you know, they put that stuff on that's very, very cold.
Don't they apply some lotion or
they
something?
They put goo on there. They put some gel.
Really?
They put gel on there, and
maybe.
Then they take the little machine, and they go around. But, I mean, believe me, I was so freaked out. There was no more eroticism. And these, apparently, this is... They do it all the time, because that's their job. They're X-ray technician people.
Maybe I'm going to go to the doctor tomorrow and tell him I think one of mine's smaller than the other.
Oh, man.
Weirdest thing that ever happened to me was just before I got married, the county health test that you have to take before you
you get married. This woman, I guess a nurse, took like one of those cotton swabs that's on a stick, like on a wooden stick. And
this is a true confession. No, thing.
Tina? Yes.
Oh, that's not necessary, Buzz.
Really?
She was doing this.
She was just goofing with me?
Yeah, she was just fooling with me.
Damn, I didn't know.
Are you,
No.
It's true.
You're serious.
Dead serious. She put a Q-tip in your penis?
Yes.
In the part where the wet comes out?
In the county health department, that's right.
Very much like
Here's
that.
Here's a Q-tip right here in my hand.
See if you have the clap.
It's to take a culture, right, to see if you have gonorrhea.
Oh!
Mm-hmm. The county health department required it, and
my God.
It was no fun and pretty humiliating considering a woman
Jesus.
Did it.
You know, you know what you didn't even see later on, though?
Why?
Later on, she cleaned her ears.
If not before.
Oh, Buzz.
True. True story.
Oh, my.
Oh, Jesus.
Gross.
Ouch. Oh. I know.
You're a gross man.
It hurt.
Oh,
and it hurt.
Man.
Oh, I bet it hurt. I don't want to hear about this anymore.
Oh, God.
Hello.
You think we are, J.R. Russ?
Hello. We used to work with this disc jockey. This guy, he came down with gonorrhea.
Oh.
And he was the overnight disc jockey. Me and Mike did a morning show. Mm-hmm. This guy came, we came into work one day at 5:30, and this guy's all happy. He says, "Hey, Don and Mike, guess what? I got gonorrhea." I swear to God, right? The guy was like,
yeah,
out of his mind excited he had gonorrhea.
Unbelievable.
It hurt less than
it's a Gonjo Friday, and I got gonorrhea. Do you remember, didn't he have pictures of the girl that gave it to him?
I don't know. I don't remember that, but I do remember him being kind of excited about it.
Do you remember when he had the like a whole sheet of pictures of some girl?
Oh, that's right.
That had her nipples pierced?
That's right, and he was all proud of that, too. Said the only woman that had ever slept with him or something.
Hello. Don and Mike.
How's that for bad luck?
Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, what?
I want to talk to Don and Mike.
Turn your radio down.
Yes, what do you want?
I want to talk to Don and Mike.
Oh,
Christ.
Hello. Send me a letter. Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah, Buzz, I can sympathize, man. I was dating a girl once who claimed that I transmitted something to her.
Uh-oh.
And then in an effort to clear the slate, I went to Planned Parenthood to get a bunch of cultures done.
I think that's what
I had some radiology.
You get your marriage license at Planned Parenthood?
No, but you could get the test. You could get the marriage health test there. Yeah.
You had to go to Culture Club, didn't you?
Yeah,
to get that thing done?
I did. Yeah.
And do you really want to hurt me? Well, they do.
It's Dr.
Yeah.
O'Dowd.
Hey, maybe that's why they had that name.
So you went to Planned Parenthood.
And they did it twice.
Really?
Really? Well, that must be because you liked it.
Are you kidding? I almost pulled a bolted down exam paper.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
You know it's bad when they use a toothbrush.
Listen to him.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
102.7 Kiss FM, the station the stars listen to.
Hi, this is Rick Springfield. I really enjoy listening to Kiss FM, except when Don Geronimo does.
Now, wait a minute. Hold on. Wait.
102.7 Kiss FM, where you can hear Casey Kasem and American Top 40 Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock here. Along with those great long-distance dedications, right, Casey?
Well, I'm back now, and I haven't used any drugs for over 8 months.
Thanks a lot. 102.7 Kiss FM with your free tickets for the premiere of the movie Making Love. I got a pair for you. Call in to win when you hear Buzz Skaggs, okay? 102.7 Kiss FM, the Don Geronimo of Chicago. Like they say in baseball at Dodger Stadium, it's all in the big inning. Talking about Dodger Blue, Tommy Lasorda's here now. Tommy, in just a few words, could you please comment on what you think of the performance of Mr. Geronimo tonight?
What the f*** you think is my opinion of it? I think it was opinion of his performance?
Yeah.
How can you ask me a question like that? What is my opinion of his performance? I mean, that's a tough question to ask me, isn't it? What is my opinion of his performance?
102.7 Kiss FM, the only place in town where you can go to bed with Don Geronimo and wake up with Rick Dees. Talk about a morning after. 102.7 Kiss FM. Don Geronimo, commercial free. Kiss FM and your Hollywood reporter, Don Geronimo, and the latest TV ratings therein. First place, CBS. Second place, ABC. Third place, Atari. Fourth place, NBC.
Good day, everyone. I'm Bob McKenzie. This is my brother, Doug.
How's it going, eh?
And right now, you're listening to Don Geronimo. Where, Hoser?
On KISS FM 102.7, eh?
In stereo, which is why there's two of us here.
Yeah.
Okay, good day.
Good day.
The Don and Mike Show.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program, The Best of Don and Mike.
This book sent in by a guy in Rochester, New York, because he was in a bookstore recently and this was in the cutout bin. This book was published in 1993 and has a price tag of $15.95. DJs, ratings, and hook tapes.
Yeah.
Pop music broadcasting, how the radio business works.
Boy, I tell you, there are all sorts of bookmarks in that. It must be just chock full of good information, Don.
Here's the introduction, and perhaps we can all learn a little something.
I know that I've got my mind wide open right now.
Mike, before television, radio was an important source of entertainment and information.
Thanks for that bulletin.
You didn't watch the World Series, you listened to it on the radio. Today, radio is different. People rarely sit down in front of their radio the way they do with their TV. People listen to the radio, and this book is not for kids. You know what I mean? It's very elementary the way it's written, but this is like a manual.
Like maybe a college textbook.
Yes. People listen to the radio while they do other things. Work, make dinner, or make a car. I'm sorry, or drive a car. Unlike most network and local television, which show a little bit of every station, everything, most stations play only one thing. This is called a station's format.
Oh, God.
Popular music stations even have more specific formats. To get the information for my book, I went to two radio stations in New York City.
Way to do that exhaustive research.
WNEW-FM and Z100. In this book, I show the different people and describe the jobs involved in running these stations. The radio stations you listen to may do things a bit differently, but once you understand how these stations work, you'll have a very good idea of how your average radio station works. And then the first chapter, of course, the music. It's in the music. When I listen to the radio, I want to hear music that I know and like. Sometimes I go up and down the dial. It all starts with the latest recordings. That's how music actually gets on the radio. The record companies send their products to the music director, who's in charge of the music department.
Along with a healthy check.
Before playing songs on the radio, most radio stations test them. WNEW tests music by calling people on the telephone, playing some songs for them, and getting their reactions.
Yeah, that one's got a nice beat there. Yeah, put that on. Put that. That's good.
That has always been, to me, the most retarded thing that radio stations have done.
Mm-hmm. Nothing makes a record sound better than hearing it over the phone.
Yeah, you know, first off, you're invading somebody's privacy. And right. Do not be mistaken by this. Every radio station that plays music now does this stupid call-out deal.
Yeah.
They bother you at home like they're going to be somebody selling you a subscription to a magazine. They go, right. Hello, my name is Rob Spiewak from Infinity Broadcasting. Do you like music? And then you'd go, yes.
No salutations, click.
And then they'd say, we'd like you to listen to a few songs. And they will play you 30 or 40 seconds of 7, 8, 9, or 10 songs.
Which by the end of it all end up sounding like...
Right now, let's say you got somebody who's interested in this. Maybe they'll tune in to the first two songs
mm-hmm.
that they're hearing over a telephone.
Right.
But by the time you get to the 8th, the 9th, or the 10th song, the people are probably going, like it, don't like it.
Play them all, man. Play them all. Thanks for calling. Do I get a prize?
Yeah, and this is the research that these radio stations are using. This is why you hear the same stupid songs on the same stupid stations all the stupid time.
Constantly.
Because of this type of stuff.
That's right.
Okay. Let me see. They play songs for them. And besides, as long as we're on that subject, how do you know that the part of the song you're playing is the part of a song that would appeal
right.
to a person? Everybody likes different things.
Well, you know, it falls under that massive umbrella in our business. It's known as research. And I'll tell you, research, I think, has been responsible for more mistakes in the radio business than anything else.
This work is done by members of the research department who go through the phone book every day and randomly choose people to call. When the researchers call, they don't say they're calling from a radio station. They say they're calling from a broadcast company. They ask the person if they'd like to take part in a music survey. If the person says yes, the researcher asks what type of radio stations the person listens to. If the person says he listens to rock and roll, the research department plays a hook tape, which lasts 16 minutes long and contains 30-second segments from about 30 songs.
Put number it.
Why only 30 seconds of a song? If a person doesn't recognize the song after 10 seconds, they don't know it, mm-hmm. says one radio insider. People are asked to rate each song on a scale of 1 to 5, with one being the lowest and five being the highest. After the calls are finished, the results are put in a computer and analyzed.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah. Analyze my ass.
Yeah, because it's not complex enough at this stage. They want to put it into a computer and make it a little bit more complicated so they can justify their incredibly feeble jobs.
No, it used to be. It used to be that the station would call the record stores and say, listen, tell me the top 30 records that are selling.
All right.
Then they'd bring those 30 records in the studio and they say to the DJs, here, play these records.
That's it.
That used to be how it would work.
Mm-hmm.
After the calls are finished, the results are put into a computer and analyzed. Like that somehow magically transforms them.
Sure.
The music director uses the information from the computer to decide what to play on the station. The music director and the research director choose the music that goes on to the tapes. Next page. Requests are a small part in deciding what gets played on a radio station.
Unfortunately, that is the case.
What better way to find out what people want to hear than to have them tell you? Stations encourage their listeners to call a special telephone number if they want to hear a song. Every week, for example, Z100 counts how many times a song was requested the previous week.
Yeah, just another now, thing for, and you know, the way we look at it, just another thing for the disc jockey to do. Yeah, okay, I got to put it in the log.
The people at the radio station listen to what other stations play. Adam Goodman.
Would that be Alan's son?
The assistant music director at Z100 says he listens to the competition every day. After narrowing down the choices, the music director recommends what he or she thinks should be played on the radio station to the program director. Together, they look at the information that's been gathered from research. Then intuition comes to play. There are times when somebody has to add personal opinion to the decision, says a local program director.
Now, that is a very scary moment in the process when personal opinion comes into play. That's what they're all terrified of because that's where jobs are on the line.
And never in mind what you like or don't like. Sometimes these personal opinions are just plain bizarre.
Sure.
All right. Now, here we go. Chapter 2.
Based on the program director's foot-rubbing mood of the day.
We worked for this one guy. This guy who is now like a vice president of MTV. This guy, he's like Rain Man, okay? He's not, now, I take it back. He's not the one that was crazy about the time.
Right.
It was Mark St. John that was crazy about the time, and here's why. Mark St. John had a rule that Mike and I had to play however many records an hour, if it was three records or four records an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So what I would do was, if I was playing a record and it was 5 minutes after 8 o'clock, mm-hmm. and that was supposed to be the fourth record of the 7 o'clock hour,
mm-hmm.
and even though it was 5 minutes after 8, I'd say, hey, everybody, it's a minute till 8 o'clock. Good morning.
A lot of people lost their jobs because of that here in Washington, D.C.
So what he started doing, he figured this out, right? He called, what is that, naval time
U.S. piece? Naval Observatory.
Wasn't that the atomic clock or something like that?
Yes, that's the atomic clock.
Right.
He goes, I did it with the atomic clock. He called the atomic clock, and he had every clock at the radio station set with the atomic clock. So I could no longer lie about the time to lie about the amount of records that we were playing. Watch, here it is. I got it right here.
All right. Conversely, you've also worked for guys who told you to lie about the time, haven't you?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's another thing that's done. Yeah. Hold on. I'm going to call this atomic clock right now.
U.S. Naval Observatory Master Clock. At the tone, Eastern Standard Time. 16 hours, 3 minutes, 45 seconds. Universal time.
That's when we all go, 16 hours. Yeah.
50 seconds.
12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 4.
Observatory Master Clock. At the tone, Eastern Standard Time. 16 hours, 4 minutes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Hey, we're on it. Man, we are on it.
4 minutes.
Was yours right on it?
Solid. Let me check it here.
U.S. Naval Observatory Master Clock.
Right on.
Master
Clock.
At the
tone, Eastern Standard Time. 16 hours,
4
minutes, 15 seconds.
This little digital one is absolutely perfect. Way to go, Dan.
So anyway, the idiot, that's all he cares about. He doesn't care about what we say on the show.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't care about where the commercials are played. Mm-hmm. He wants to make sure that between 7 and 8 o'clock there are four records played.
Yeah, that is his goal. That is the most important thing to him at the radio station.
And conversely, you're also right, Buzz. Here's another thing you'll hear DJs do. Like right now, as you just heard, here in Washington, all along the East Coast, it's 4 minutes after 4.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey, coming up on 4:15, everybody.
Yeah.
So you do that to make people think, again, radio people think that you're so stupid
mm-hmm.
that if it's really 4:05, right. if you say it's 4:15,
mm-hmm.
that somehow you're going to think you're listening longer.
That's right, and you'll record that type of thing, too.
Yeah, right. Okay. After the music department makes all of its decisions, The music log goes to the DJ. Now the music that's been chosen goes on the air with the voice of the DJ. Most people believe a DJ's job is the easiest in the world. He plays records and talks about them. There is a bit more to it.
Oh, yes, it's complicated.
The DJ's job is to make the station fun to listen to.
Woo-hoo.
The typical work shift for a DJ is 4 hours. Some are only 3 hours, while others are five or even six. Mm-hmm. We happen to be two of the idiots to do a show that sometimes goes 5.5 or 6 hours long.
Yes, because we know you're dying to be entertained, and that's what we're here for.
Even though we only have to be here for four, sometimes we stay till five, and sometimes almost 6 hours.
Absolutely.
The average is four. DJs usually get to the station about an hour before their show.
Mm-hmm.
They read their DJ mail, check to see if there are any special instructions for that day's show, and read the day's newspapers. DJs need to be well informed about current events.
You didn't mention the 10 minutes of sundry picking that goes on, too.
They may want to play a song they think is appropriate for the day. For example, the day that Nelson Mandela was set free by South Africa, WNEW played a song by Tracy Chapman, written for Nelson Mandela.
Yes, because they're cutting edge, and they pay attention to current events when they're not picking themselves.
While on the air, a DJ's most important task is to keep the radio station on schedule.
See? Right, here's where it starts to go awry here.
At Z100, every minute of every day is planned in advance by the program director. It is the DJ's job to follow the schedule. He constantly follows the schedule and checks it to see if he's on time. Sometimes things don't go perfectly.
Uh-oh.
The schedule may say that a song by Madonna is to be played at 2:10 p.m.
What am I going
to
do, man?
However, a news report right before the song lasted 4 minutes longer than expected.
Oh, my God.
So it is now 2:14, and the show is running 4 minutes long.
Now, I would say, Don, in that case, it's so long, Madonna. You got to heave-ho Madonna out of there.
No. Somewhere along the line, those 4 minutes have to be made up.
Uh-huh.
Normally, the program director tells the DJ to shut up for 4 minutes.
Oh, what a shame.
Since commercials are paid for, they can't be taken out of the schedule.
Right.
And music, in most cases, is more important than what the disc jockey has to say.
Okay, you got 4 minutes to make up, and we're going to take that 4 minutes out of your nonsensical patter.
The DJs at WNEW have a schedule to follow, but it's not as strict as the one at Z100.
Well, for most of those guys, isn't it some kind of schedule for life support systems?
Hold on, let me break here. When we come back, DJs, other responsibilities? Why it is so hard to be a DJ at a station like Z100.
Right.
And stations are like politicians running for office.
Hey, where's the hygiene chapter?
It's nowhere to be found, Mike.
Well, that's appropriate.
Hey, got to do a quick commercial break, man. Incidentally, stations, this is the commercial shot that should have run about, oh, I know, 7, 8, 9, 10 minutes ago.
Somebody's not watching his master clock.
And if anybody out there is listening right now, it's 7 p.m., everybody. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Chicago. Memories of the way it used to be in the old days at 8:07 Monday in New York. Start of a brand new week with George Michael. All the things that a fool in love believes. Featuring the talent of Mike McDonald, the mix of Jim Burgess, the Doobie Brothers.
Hey, this is Homer Simpson saying howdy to all the girls out there in Radio Land.
WPTC. Pardon me, I just ran back to the cold shower there, folks. It's at 9:05. This is Don Geronimo and the radio program. That's done for broadcasting. But the NBA official due for Hubie Brown of the Atlanta Hawks. You were at that Bullets game with the Hawks last week, where we beat him by 20 points. You know what I mean. And if you'd like to go see the Bullets play 76ers tomorrow night, you listen to Elliot Woodside. They'll have tickets for you tomorrow morning.
Where are you calling from?
Andy Griffith Space.
call over to Andrew. What's happening in Camp Springs tonight? Are things as exciting in Camp Springs as they always are?
Yes.
Well, yeah. Are you standing in front of the Pedry Prize store there watching the light change in front of the Mimco?
No, why?
Oh, you're missing out on the big thrill in town.
Wow.
Let me tell you, that's the biggest tourist attraction in Camp Springs.
A light changing?
Yes, ma'am.
Metro weather. It must be the weather. Got to blame it on something here. Rain all the way through tomorrow. Should be sunny during the weekend. High tomorrow, 60. Low tonight, 50. 62 degrees now. WTGP. Well, I figured out why I can't talk for a clear part. It's very hard to talk with your foot in your mouth. You ever try now? Hey, your time has come. WPGC. In between the noise, the news, and the snooze, it's time for the Boogie Chugabot. Yes, ma'am. The eternal search for the intelligent. Get entertaining phone call at 432-1580. This is Don Geronimo, your host, for the Boogular Chugabot.
The Food Money Bunny, coming to WPGC this weekend with an Easter basket full of cash for you.
And you know what time that is.
It's time for the boogie check. A one, a two, a one, two, three.
Everybody now.
Boogie check, boogie check, boogie check.
And the ultimate search for the intelligent, yet entertaining, telephone call.
Boogie check, boogie check, boogie check.
WPGC, and after a rain check last night, it's the boogie check tonight. Good evening, boogie checker.
Hey, Geronimo.
Yeah.
Who's like to have a wigwam with in your teepee?
Pardon me?
I said, who would you like to have a wigwam with in your teepee?
Bette Midler.
You got it.
Oh, boy, is she a rose or what?
Yeah, she's a...
Understand she's pretty thorny, too.
Yeah,
hello, Boogie Jack of Life.
Hello.
Hello.
I have the all-time intelligent question.
What is the all-time intelligent yet entertaining question?
What time is it?
Time to find an intelligent phone call. Hello?
You know Fred Herrick?
Do I know Fred Herrick?
Yeah.
No.
You don't?
No, I don't. But everybody calls and talks about him. Who is Fred Herrick?
Oh, Fred Herrick is a person at Woodward High School.
Oh.
He's a senior. He's in 12th grade.
Oh, well, that's who Fred Herrick is.
Yeah.
Okay, goodbye.
Bye.
WPGC, the Fred Herrick Show. Hello.
Oh, hi. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
Fine.
What can I do for you?
I want to say hi to Mary Ann Rada.
Hi, Mary Ann Rada. Boogie check, boogie check, boogie check.
Yes, I think WPGC is number one.
Thank you.
The Don and Mike Show.
It's the best of Don and Mike.
Now, enough yapping.
Okay.
Back to the How to Be a DJ Boy.
I've got my pen out and my notebook, and I'm taking notes. I'm taking notes for Mr. Mellon.
DJs have other responsibilities away from the studio.
Oh, absolutely.
They record commercials for the radio station, promotional announcements, and public service announcements.
Eat Tums.
They also make promotional appearances. You know, not once here do you mention the blow-up donut that many DJs have to sit on because of their poor hemorrhoids, because all the DJs have big butts from
right.
Sitting down and playing the records.
The sedentary lifestyle. It's an athletic man's job.
They get involved with community activities like a charity softball game. The DJ sometimes broadcasts live from a restaurant. The DJ's job has changed in the past decade.
Oh, yes, it has.
For years, all music that was played on radio came from records or tape cartridges, known as carts.
Now, this is good because, you know, we've mentioned carts a lot, and I think there's a segment of the listening audience probably unfamiliar with the concept of carts.
Then in 1983, the compact disc was born. Now, many radio stations play most of their music directly from CDs.
Oh, it's a big technological leap for the business.
Most DJs like them because they can get a song ready in an instant.
Mm-hmm.
CD players use a laser beam to play the song by pushing a button.
That how it works?
If a DJ wants to hear song number 7, he pushes number 7 on the CD player. Gee,
wait a minute.
No duh, just like the guy at home does.
That's important, and I think quicker and easier spells lazier.
Now listen to this. CDs are smaller and easier to handle than records, and some people think they sound much better. Some people think they sound better.
I like the old tapes anyway. Oh. I like cassettes.
Let me tell you what. Just one thing about Bart that he said over the weekend. He and a friend of his were out in the woods back behind our house, and they came up and they had 3 items that they wanted to keep.
One was an old abandoned lawnmower.
Mm-hmm.
This big piece of junk. I said, no, you got a lawnmower already. He's like, Dad, Dad, look, it's great, it's great. They also had a tire, an automobile tire.
Right.
I said, listen, both those pieces of junk, they go back. Mm-hmm. And then he says, Dad, I got something, though, that you will remember. I got an 8-track. And I said, where's the 8-track? And he picked up an album. It was a record.
Oh, like it wasn't an 8-track at all. It was just like vinyl?
Yeah.
But he called it an 8-track.
But he didn't know.
Did that make you feel a million years old?
Yeah, a gazillion years old. I said, listen, that's not 8-track. That's a record. He said, no, it's not, Dad. It's an 8-track. He and whoever it was decided it's an 8-track.
Was it in good enough shape to identify the artist?
No, the label had been ripped off. And then I had to go through the whole thing of 33 and 45.
Wow.
And when they used to have 78s.
Right. It was a magical day when you used to have to play records, though, because records had the potential for disaster all the time.
Yeah. And please remember, as they say here in the book, some people think CDs sound better than records. Yeah. Another major change has been in use of an engineer during a show. Until recently, the DJ's only responsibility was to talk. Getting the records to play and running the equipment was done by an engineer. Now, the DJs do it all.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Money, basically.
Sure.
In order to save money, radio stations combine the jobs of DJ and engineer.
And most of the board engineers have died.
Yes. Let me see. Move to the next one. Local sales. You want to hear about the business?
Yes, the business.
The business?
Please tell me about the business.
Commercial radio stations don't play music as a public service. Radio is a business.
Yeah.
A commercial radio station makes money by selling airtime. The people who sell are the people who work in the sales department.
They are known as gerbils.
You know them. You know, Steve Goldstein,
mm-hmm.
Melanie, the girl that parked in my spot.
Right.
Alan Linewand, not Al Linewand.
Isn't it Linewand?
Did I get it backwards again?
You said Linewand. He's going to be mad at you.
Sorry, Al.
Alan.
You know, Shrinsky.
Trinskerner.
All those guys back there. Earl Merton, the late Earl Merton. The general sales manager runs the sales department.
Right.
That would be Alan.
He normally carries a sidearm.
He is responsible for sales of commercial airtime at the radio station. He has a staff of sales representatives. The sales department works with other departments to make the radio station more appealing to listeners. One of those is the promotions department run by the promotions director.
Mm-hmm.
His job is to get more people to listen to the radio station, which means higher ratings, which means more money.
Right.
Radio stations are a little like politicians running for office. Oh, just a little bit.
Of course.
Not too much. Candidates in an election want people to vote for them, so they campaign for votes. They advertise and hand out buttons and hats. A radio station does similar things. Both WNEW and Z100 are successful stations, but each has listeners who like their station more than any other.
Of course.
Every year, Z100 holds a Halloween costume contest at a local shopping mall. The promotions department often asks a DJ to make a personal appearance for the station. For example, a DJ may go on stage before a concert to introduce a band. You remember, the best time we ever had was, we got on stage to introduce the Beastie Boys.
Oh, my God. I don't know how. I look back on that and I say, how did we ever do that?
All I remember is this big, huge condom coming up behind us
right.
And people spraying beer from the seats at us.
Yeah, and everybody going, boo!
Yeah, when we
boo!
Came out. What a feeling that is, 18,000 people giving you the finger all at once.
Very scary.
All right. Let me see. Promotions. Then it's more about promotions.
Most DJs will go as Jabba the Hutt when they go to do their various costume contests.
Let me see. As I said before, radio is a business. People who own radio stations want to make money. The business manager handles the business side of the station and reports to the owner. This would be Miss Bobby.
The business manager at WJFK here in Washington is the most powerful woman in the world.
She has every man's balls in a jar.
Absolutely, and we put them there gladly.
All lined up every day. When every man comes in the WJFK radio station, he has to go back to Bobby's office and leave his balls in the formaldehyde.
Balls in a jar for inspection, Bobby! Here we go, check.
Then she lets us go, and then at the end of the day, mm-hmm. you collect your balls.
Yes.
When Doug, the security guard, opens the door for you.
And Miss Bobby lets us all go home.
Sometimes I like putting mine back when I'm going down the stairs. Sometimes I'm waiting until I'm in the car.
Mm-hmm.
But I, you know, and sometimes I've been very lazy.
Yes.
And I don't even put them back till I get home. But then it's almost like the thing that your mom says, getting in an accident with bad underwear.
You wouldn't want to have them in a jar if you were involved in an accident. You know?
Right.
And it's just a little fuss and muss to prepare them for going home.
Yeah.
You
know, sometimes I get, I've had awful stains, you know. Because, well, never mind.
Yeah, and it, well, the big beakers that they're in. The important rule is when you're here at the facility, they have to be in Miss Bobby's jar. Otherwise, you're fired.
All of them. She's got to have 30 or 40 jars on her desk right now.
That's right. And we don't have them with us right now.
No, they're back in Bobby's desk.
In the ballroom.
let me see. Engineering. You can't run a radio station with people only. A station needs fancy electronic equipment. Well, now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I beg to differ with simply the word fancy.
No, there's no fancy equipment here.
A station needs fancy electronic equipment to make it work.
Fancy.
The people who own and operate that equipment work in the engineering department, which is headed by the chief engineer.
They don't own it, though. Why is this book saying the people that own and operate? They don't own it. That book is wrong. They operate it.
But don't the engineers...
They operate and maintain the equipment.
Universally look like this, though?
Yeah, that's perfect. Yeah. There they go. That's good.
Might as well be Dan Risen and Daryl Nichols right there discussing soldering something to the board.
Those are atypical engineers.
I wonder if as you see, one of them has on the short sleeve button down shirt.
Absolutely.
The other one, I'm sure, has on the big wrestling shoes like Dan the engineer wears.
And in all seriousness, we think we've got the best ones here at WJFK.
And finally, the general manager.
All right. Oh, God, here we go.
The general manager, the GM, is the person in charge of the radio station.
Sure.
Everybody else mentioned in this book, except the owner, calls the GM boss.
Howdy, boss.
I'm not.
Most GMs oversee the business end of a radio station and hire and fire and report to the owner. On top of all that, the department heads at a radio station report to the GM. The GM doesn't tell the PD what music to play or the SM how to sell commercial time. The visions are left up to those people. At both WNEW and Z100, the general manager constantly meets and talks with the different department heads. Now, again, Ken Stevens is never here.
No, because he's running several different radio stations, and he's never around, to have those meetings.
The GM has many informal meetings with people who work at the station. His door is always open.
Yeah, that's right. Go in there anytime.
No, I said no. So what?
So why are you doing it, then?
I'm not! I told you I was. Wow.
The general manager reports to the owner on all aspects of the radio station.
You know what I just noticed with that little piece of tape? When you play, if you can play that again, the full thing. Listen to your joyous reaction. I've never really appreciated it until this very moment. Listen to the joy in your voice when Ken says, "I'm not."
No, I said no. So what?
So why are you doing it then?
I'm not. I told you I was.
Yeah, I did love it,
man. You're doing the Simpsons dance there.
Oh, I told you that Grace Under Fire last night. That is a dumb show that should stop trying to have serious plot lines.
Okay,
but she did say one thing last night that I'm going to steal. You know, I love doing that when you were dancing. Remind me how I say it when people I don't like when they die that I'm going to dance on their graves. She says last night. She says, "Not only am I going to dance on your grave, I'm going to lead an aerobics class on your grave." Give her. Old cow boobs are hers.
Oh, she is lovely.
God. She look weather-beaten or what?
They're pretty.
They're my Hooters, Barbara.
See, do you like them? These are great. No, you got knocked out.
No. They're colloquialism. For my brass, Barbara.
Aren't they pretty? And Barbara Walters, meanwhile, going, "Hooters? What are hooters? I don't understand. Come on, get with the program."
Hey, do we have that tape, Charlie? Can you find that tape of Brett Butler talking about her boobs?
They are pretty. They are really pretty.
I maintain that they look like the dog chew that my dog plays with. Oh, here we go.
You talk very openly about yourself. You know, the bottle blonde. You even do it in the show. Mm. And you had
Hooters.
What do you call them?
Hooters.
What are Hooters?
Hooters are these. No, Hooters are just a colloquial phrase for these.
Breasts.
Yes.
Okay. So you had the breasts.
Incidentally, Brett Butler is candidate number one for mad cow disease.
She ought to be tested. She should be tested even if she hasn't been to Britain.
Augmentation. Yes, indeed. Well, you know, what's the alternative? It's like, you know.
Why don't you do it in the first place? I mean, were you that unhappy with you?
No. I'm not at all. They're for me. But if I didn't tell this, then somebody else would have. And plus, am I going to come to Hollywood and do like these girls that go, I know, I started working out. No, you didn't. She got knocked out for 3 hours, and then you hurt like hell for 2 weeks.
I think I love you.
And I think they match, too. They go with me. Well,
you know, I've never noticed that before. Barbara Walters saying, I love you, I love you, I
think
I love you.
She's getting very excited when Brett Butler's talking about her Hooters.
That's all right to me.
Yeah, they're good. They're pretty. Even on a bad day, I go, yeah.
Yeah, they're pretty. Hey, Brett, I tell you what, I'm a little thirsty. I'm a little parched.
Barbara Walters would like a glass.
How about you work up one of those pretty breasts for me? Somebody have that chilled tumbler?
Oh, great. I've got it right over here. I'll have a glass bowl.
Hold on, let me fill you up, Barbara.
Oh, thank you, Brett. Thank you. I think I love you. I really do. I love you.
They're pretty.
Thank you. Fill me up right here.
Here we go.
Yum, yum.
You've got a milk mustache.
Jeez. You.
Oh, is this book over yet? Oh, here's the last page. The general manager is responsible to the owner for both the station's success and its problems. General managers take too much credit when things go right and too much blame when things go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
The people... Oh, this is according to... That's a quote from a general manager saying that.
Hey, I wonder what quote... I wonder who gave that quote. You know, he might have been the manager there when his book was done.
No, it says Z100's general manager, Gary Fisher.
Oh, what a shame.
Must have been after Alan Goodman, our old boss, left the station.
All right.
A good boss makes everybody do his or her job a little easier.
Mm-hmm.
Conclusion. When Marconi obtained his patent on wireless telegraphy, am I pronouncing it? Telegraphy.
Telegraphy. I think that's right.
Telegraphy.
Telegraphy. When Marconi got his patent on that wire that makes things go from one place to the other.
I love that telegraphy. I sure do. Thank you, Mr. Marconi.
That's some beautiful photography.
I think it is safe to assume he never planned his invention, broadcasting news 24 hours a day, live concerts or sporting events. But I think Marconi would be very happy with radio today. Radio has something for everybody, and it may even have everything for somebody.
Yeah, he'd be very happy if Beatles weren't eating his eye sockets. Mr. Marconi.
That's kind of like, it's nice, it's not, it's important.
It's nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice.
Yeah, right, all that crap. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I didn't understand you, sir. I was right the first time. I don't understand you. Well, thank you, sir, whatever that was. I can't believe I paid for this guy to be here.
The Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike are back, live in studio, tomorrow. Until then, it's the best of Don and Mike.
Hello.
Hi, this is Liz from the Detroit area.
Yes, hello there, Liz.
You guys are fabulous.
Right on, thank you.
With you. I'm so jealous of your wives. I was calling because they have offered, the radio station here has offered a chance for us to put our input in these town meetings, supposedly, about what goes on at the radio station.
Oh, well, let me hip you to that, Liz. Anytime a radio station says, like, hey, we're the people's station, we want your opinion. No, you know what that means? They really don't care what you think.
Do you remember that station here in Washington that used to run those commercials with the general manager who was talking about, you know, we asked you what you wanted, and you know, he's like carrying a box of records and stuff like that.
Every time a station comes on with a promotion like that, they already know what they're going to do, right? Mm-hmm. Frankly, they're just lying to you.
Oh, see, because, you know, I've called, like, several times. There's a bunch of huge fans of you guys. They even call into the other shows and talk about how much they like your show.
Wow. Well, that must drive the other disc jockeys crazy.
Yeah, but you have to at least, you know, let us know if you're not going to be on the station where we can all hear you, because you have a bunch of fans.
Well, we have two more weeks there, Liz. Two weeks. And then hopefully we'll have a new home in Detroit. If, you know, unless the station does something for us.
Right.
Well, yeah, I'm trying.
I'll tell you the stupidest example. And Mike will remember this when we worked at WAVA. This is about 10 years ago. There was a phase going through the radio business. Radio's so over-researched, for God's sakes.
Absolutely, because a lot of guys' jobs.
There was a phase going through radio where the big thing was yes-no radio, where you were supposed to call in.
Oh, this sucked.
You were supposed to call in and be able to vote.
Right.
Every time a station played a song, they had toll-free lines set up, and you could call in and vote yes or no if you wanted to hear the song again.
The radio station had two tape machines set up in the back room where you could call, and they were hooked to a phone line, and they would answer yes, you know, thank you, you've just voted yes, or thank you, you've just voted no.
So one day I'm standing back in the program director's office, and we're playing some piece of crap, and all the records were pieces of crap, let's be honest.
Mm-hmm.
There's one particular piece of crap, and I'm standing back there, and I see in 3 minutes, they've got like 400 calls that said no,
right,
and 20 calls that said yes. So I said to him, hey, great. Look at this. The people have spoken. You're going to stop playing the record, right? And he said, oh, no. We're going to continue playing all the records that we've always played.
Sure.
I said, then why did you go to the time and the trouble to set up the phone lines?
To create the illusion.
Right.
That people are participating in the process.
Right.
It's a bunch of crap.
Right. Anytime a radio station says to you, we asked people what they wanted. You know what that means? They didn't ask anybody what they wanted.
Right, right. Absolutely. It was hysterical.
At a town meeting my ass.
Yeah, they've already decided what they're going to do anyway, and if they're, you know, if they haven't decided, they're going to make the decision, and, you know, they don't do it with any input from anybody.
Right. It's too bad they just can't be honest with people.
That's what I was hoping for.
But I'll tell you, as you have said before, it does make a difference with people calling the station. I mean, it does. It helps
our cause enormously.
It
really does.
And you know, if you want to go out to the town meeting, you go right ahead. But the best thing to do is call the station.
I'm going to take off all my clothes, write your names on my body, and run around the building.
Absolutely.
That would be beautiful.
Thank you, Liz.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I'll tell you, man. I mean, really, we're getting support in that town. It is frustrating.
I just come to the 97.1 town meeting.
Hey, okay, now our first agenda. Hey, there's a lady outside with no clothes on.
How can you have a town meeting when nobody in town listens to your radio station? But that's the whole problem with this nation. The station doesn't even crack a one share.
Best meeting in town.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, Don.
Christ. Yeah, hi there.
Listen, this is Tom from Linden, California, and that's a true story about the penis and the super glue.
And how do you know that it's true?
Because I was up in Oregon elk hunting about 8 years ago, a good friend of mine. There's a little, you may want to send Rob me to the map, there's a little town in eastern Oregon called Baker. And we were there hunting and actually doing probably more drinking than hunting, ended up in a bar, and our friends are telling us this story. It just happened like the week before.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be darned if the girl didn't walk into the place. They said, no, don't look now. They're all afraid of her.
Oh, and, come on. Let's dissect this story. I heard it about 8 years ago from a friend of mine when I was elk hunting.
Yeah, I know, but I was there. The whole town was talking about it.
Let me just throw this scenario out. You think maybe in your heavy drinking, in your stupor at the time, maybe somebody just said that was the girl and everybody laughed, and maybe because you were a little loaded, you thought, hey, that's the legitimate girl?
No, listen to this part. I had a friend who was much louder and more boisterous than myself, was appalled by this story.
Suddenly, 50 elk burst through the door, and everyone was crushed to death.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Hello there.
Hey. I'm calling from Detroit.
Right, hello.
And just wanted to let you know that the group that's coming in to the afternoon show is Minsky and Doyle.
All right, we don't care about that.
Well, they're I guess out of Trenton. Anyway, I called them up on
major city, Trenton, New Jersey. They've got to be a major talent if they're importing them from Trenton, New Jersey.
Well, I guess they're pretty big in Philadelphia as well. That's a pretty big town.
Well, no. What are you? A plant for the radio station?
No. I was just going to tell you, I called them up on their town meetings, and I had talked to them about putting weather on, and I know they had asked a bunch of people about adding weather to their traffic, and they added that.
You are a plant for them. You're giving their whole lineup now.
No. I was just saying that they are listening to the people.
No, they don't. Now, this radio station we're on in Detroit is just like the radio station we're on in D.C., just like the one we're on in Sacramento, just like the one we're going to be on in San Francisco.
Right.
They don't give a crap what people think. If you listen, that's great, and if you don't listen, you know, they figure they'll find some other listeners, man.
Right. Well, they listen to me. I mean, I don't know.
Have they put weather on?
I don't know about the research or any of that, but I know.
Did they put weather on?
Called in.
Did they put weather on?
Yeah, they did.
Well, then they're idiots.
Well, I don't know. You know, they look like they're...
Wait, you don't have windows in your house?
How did you know the names of the guys that are coming on?
Because they're doing promos for them. They've got ads on for them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm telling you, Trenton, New Jersey is a nothing town. I happen to know that nobody from Trenton, New Jersey has any ratings in Philadelphia. And I guarantee that whoever these schmucks are, their show can't hold a candle to ours.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I just don't...
No, I'm telling you, I know.
I don't think that.
I know, and I think it's a bad idea to have weather on the radio. What do you think about that?
I don't know. I'm just saying I don't think it's right to call these guys schmucks.
Why? I'm telling you, they're schmucks. They're no-talent schmucks. What have they achieved in the radio business?
They're people schmucks.
They've made it to Trenton, New Jersey? Please, we have a national show that's heard in 50 cities.
Well, I know that John and Ken used to be in Trenton, and they were national, too. They came from the same station.
You know what you are, man? You're a radiophile.
Right. No, I'm not.
You probably want to fillate me.
No, I don't. I'm just telling you what I know. I mean, you guys are on bashing the guys, and it seems like...
Well, I mean,
you
know, it seems to me that we've received a tremendous amount of calls from the people of Detroit that are indicating that they love this show. And it's such a volume of calls, and I will tell you, we go into a lot of cities, and we don't get this kind of response. And that indicates to us that we got something going here in Detroit, and the bottom line is we want to stay on in the afternoon, and we know that we have a better show than those guys from Trenton. We know we do.
Great, and I hope that it works out for you guys.
No, you don't. No, you absolutely. There is no way. Hold on. There is no way that you hope it works out for us. You would not call with your damn agenda if you thought it worked out for us.
I don't even have an agenda.
Of course you
do. Yes, you do. You're a radiophile.
You call our show. You call our show and you said, hey, they must be big in Philadelphia if they're big in Trenton. I've heard this. And then I called and those guys at the town meetings, you're contradicting everything we're saying.
I'm telling you.
I'm not trying to contradict anything. Let me say what happened with my experience.
Shut up for a minute. I'm telling you, first off, radio station town meetings are a crock of BS word. And if you believe them, then congratulations. You're the target for the station because you're dumb as a box of rocks.
I don't know.
Item number two.
People schmuck.
Item number two. And you're a schmuck.
The guys are coming in.
Item number two. I don't support them. This is a dog-eat-dog business. I want this shift for our show.
These are the guys that are supposedly coming in and are going to replace us.
Item number two. Trenton, New Jersey is not a major market. It's not.
So are you guys on in any small markets? I mean, I don't know.
Yes, we're on in plenty of small markets. We're on in plenty of medium markets. We're on in plenty of major markets.
So, I mean, bashing the small markets that you're on, does that make
sense? Do you understand? Why don't you understand the concept that we are talking about a show that is coming into Detroit, replacing us where we want to be?
Have you heard their show?
What? No, but I'll tell you.
You're calling them schmucks.
Yes.
You've never heard their show.
They're schmucks. They suck.
That's great. I mean,
you know how I know that? Because I know that this show is better than their show.
You've never heard. That's like saying, well, I play for the Philadelphia Eagles, but I know that we're better than the Cowboys, but I've never seen the Cowboys or heard the Cowboys.
No, it's not that. It's not.
We're better than them. Yuck, yuck, yuck. And all you
Let me tell you something.
Yuck, yuck, yuck. Why don't you eat me?
You can't come in and do
Piece
what we
of
do.
Trash.
You can't come in and do what
you
we
guys
do
are just
for a living.
Upset. Look, I think you guys do a good show. But
no, I think you're an idiot. I think you're an idiot.
Someone disagrees with us, so we'll call them names.
That's right.
And schmucks. And
that's right.
Eat me. Huh?
You're an idiot. Eat me. I wish you were dead. Really, I do. I pray that you die. I pray you die a hideous death.
That's funny.
I wish an awful social disease on you.
Yeah, you're funny.
I am.
That's real funny.
I am. I'm the guy with the radio
that's
show.
And you know, see, now your agenda is exposed. See, and you can
dress.
You are you're not bright enough.
Me, because anyone who disagrees with you.
Right. It's our show. You don't disagree with us. If you don't like it, don't listen. You're a schmuck.
Oh, funny.
You're a schmuck.
That's funny.
Yep.
I'm just listening to you guys going, all right, we're just going to disagree because someone disagrees, and now we've called...
No, I'm telling you...
This is survival, baby. This is called survival.
Those guys...
We are talking about survival. That's what we're talking about.
They are schmucks, you are schmucks, and your mother is a mother schmucker.
Before your show, they should start calling you guys schmucks.
Did you hear what I said? Listen to me. They are schmucks... You are schmucks, and your mother is a mother schmucker.
Classy.
Right.
I'm a classy guy.
From you, so if these other guys came on...
And when your mom was filleting me today before the show...
So they should come on and call you schmucks, right?
When your... Listen to me, please. When your mom was filleting me before the show today...
I don't think so, because you see, my mom died when I was really...
Right. When I was out at the cemetery today... When I was out at the cemetery with my shovel, and your dead mother was filleting me, she said, incidentally, my retarded son will call you today. Tell him I said hello. And she said, tell him even though I'm dead, he's a disappointment to me. He's a disappointment to me.
Turn him up. Turn him down. Turn him down. Turn him down. Turn him down. I love it. Keep him on the line, but turn him down. I love that. Hey, sir, this is our power. No one is hearing what you're saying right now.
I don't care.
Hearing what you're saying.
And I want to tell you something else about your dead mother and when she filleted me in the cemetery today. Oh, she's good! Oh, she's so good!
This is funny.
I know it is. I'm an entertaining chap, man.
Oh, no, we're not going to listen to you. You don't get hurt. You don't get hurt anymore.
And your mother said, my retarded son who will call your show later today.
Okay.
First off, he's never been with a woman.
Okay.
He has very small genitals, and he's constantly trying to make up for it.
This is great. And the other guys are schmucks.
La 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 la. And your dead mother who filleted me. The last thing your dead mother who filleted me said was, those other disc jockeys are schmucks, and you should be on this station forever.
You guys are really good.
That's what your dead mother who filleted me
and
said.
And you know something? That's wonderful. You heard what he said. He said, we are really good, and I guess that's the last word on the subject.
Thank you.
We are really good. We appreciate the compliment.
Thank you.
Yeah, I know. She likes that, though.
Well, this is great stuff. Keep going, guys.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it. He
you.
Said, we're really good, and this is great stuff. Thank you very much.
Right. No. They're schmucks, you're schmucks, your mother's a schmuck.
You're poor losers. Sorry, guys. You're just poor losers on this one.
Right.
Absolutely.
You're right. Yes, hello, Gadget.
Where do you work, sir?
I hope they make a whole show out of just beating up you guys. That takes a lot.
Do you think this guy works for the station, Charlie?
I think his name's Terry.
Terry, how you doing?
A lot of talent.
Hey, is your name Terry?
No.
Hi, Terry.
My name is Tim.
Why do you think his name's Terry, Charlie?
He just sounds like the guy I've spoken to at the radio station.
No, my name is Tim Johnson. You can call me back.
I think it's interesting that you talk about his mom, and he's still concerned about the other guys, the other DJs.
Absolutely.
Well,
that's amazing.
I'm not bring
that's
my mom
the agenda.
Into this.
That's
why
the agenda.
I brought your mom into it when I dug her skull up today and her bony skeleton frame.
The only place, the only way you want to go, then I'm just going to hang up.
Oh, now he's
why didn't you
out?
Hang up now that we know your name is Terry and you work at the radio
that
station?
That has nothing to do with it.
Oh, Terry, we got you, Terry.
You don't have
la, 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 la. You know what? It doesn't surprise me.
You
it guys really...
are upset that somebody would call and disagree with you.
No. Oh, people disagree with us all the time, you schmuck.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yes, Terry.
Yeah all the time.
And
Terry.
You always bring in a dead mother into
the
argument?
Absolutely, Terry.
Only when it's a guy
this
named
is
Terry.
Probably the best thing for Detroit.
Your mom, I want to tell you, your mom could suck the chrome off a trailer hitch. Your mom was fantastic.
This is actually great.
Your late mother.
Great radio.
Oh, my God.
This is perfect. Keep going.
Terry's
perfect
mom.
For Detroit.
That's what it said, Terry's mom
is the best piece of ass I've ever had. The best dead piece of ass I've ever had.
This is a great show for Detroit.
That's right, Terry. We agree. It is a great show for Detroit.
Keep going. This is the best show you've done for
Detroit. Now, listen, Terry. You know what? Somebody from the radio station is going to recognize your voice and call and out you.
And that'll be great because when they do, you know what they're going to say? Wow, that guy's got a heck of a lot of power because he took this show that was a national show and made it just for Detroit.
Maybe he should be doing the show.
So do you admit that you work for 97.1?
If that was the case.
So do you admit that
you've got that much power that one of your callers could take your show just for Detroit?
I want to show you about power, okay?
Be a local show.
This is the same power I had when I lifted your mom out of the grave today.
Makes a lot of sense.
That's it.
Same power.
What a relief. Here we are. Yes, it was getting a little bit tedious.
I don't doubt...
For Terry.
I don't doubt for Gadget that he's right.
Gadget is usually... He's got about a 95% ratio.
Yep.
You gotta find out if that guy works for the radio station.
Oh, I'm sure he does. Now that I think about it, I'm sure he does.
Absolutely.
Why would someone care about some out-of-town disc jockeys he'd never heard of before?
Might make sense, too, the way things are going. You know, successful, a lot of people calling, but absolutely, you know, no way.
Hey, Gadget, come here for a minute. Come here for a minute, please, Gadget.
I'd like to know why you think that is a guy from the radio station.
Interesting. He might have gotten some phone calls outing that guy already.
Maybe so.
He gets those.
We're hearing nothing from Gadget right now.
Where was our producer?
He might be doing some of his secret agent work.
I was off gadgeting.
Were you sleuthing?
Yeah. The top number there. Voicemail. Voice sounds the same.
All right. Okay.
This one here?
Yes, the one in pink.
All right.
Okay. Now let's see if the voice matches up with the guy who just called us.
Unbelievable, that guy.
Radio station plant.
Mm-hmm.
Now his voicemail's not picking up, Charlie.
It will.
Oh, it will? Okay. Always something on this show. Here it goes. It's going to kick in now. Listen, tell me.
Hi, this is Terry Lieberman, program director of 497.1 Detroit.
No way.
Hold on.
I'm unavailable, but if you leave a message, I'll be sure to get back with you just as soon as possible. Please leave your message right after the beep.
No.
Thank you.
At the tone.
Absolutely not.
I don't know.
Yeah. I know.
I don't know.
But no, I'm not going to. I guarantee it's not that guy. It's a totally different vocal structure.
Charlie, what do you think? Complete your case, please.
I think it's him. I think
Why?
It's the same guy.
Why?
It just sounds the same to me.
Has that program director done anything to indicate to you that he's a dick like that?
No.
Okay.
Has.
All right.
Yeah, it just doesn't sound the same. I mean, I you know, it really doesn't.
So it was a lame disguise.
I wouldn't doubt, though, that the guy's a plant somehow
in
the radio station.
Yeah. Oh, I would think that there's some connection there.
The guy was really going off about those two disc jockeys.
Yeah, we'll find, you know, I who knows if he doesn't originate at the other station, you know, where those two guys come from, or has something to do
with
like their producer
even.
Or something.
Yeah,
or if he's one of the other guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Absolutely, which is a distinct possibility.
You know, they could be doing that. You know, we could be falling right into their trap, but who the hell cares? They could have done that just to get their name going
in
the
market.
Of course. You know.
Of course.
Listen, you guys are crap, okay? You're crap.
Crap.
You're crap.
Crap.
You're crap. I'm going to go to the cemetery tonight and dig up all your mamas. That's what I'm going to do. What do you think of that? And you know what they'll say then? They'll say,
and she's gone.
Where'd that body go? We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Look what we have for you to bid on now. A barbecue and a new car. No, a lovely dinette group. Palachek's casual dining group is made from the highest quality rattan. The handsome cane-back chairs add distinction to the timeless design from Palachek. And to the winner of this dinette set goes Lippmann's Wundermark. Your hands never touch water. Just slide it special rigorously down and twist. Lippmann's for better vibes.
Roger, Rod?
Yes, Bob?
Would you like a glass of water? Or a glass of something?
I can't believe you're a professional golfer. I think you should be working at the snack bar.
You better relax, Bob.
There is no way that you could have been as bad at hockey as you are at golf.
All right, let's go.
You like that, old man? You want a piece of me?
I don't want a piece of you.
I want the whole thing.
Happy? The price is wrong, bitch.
I think you've had enough. No? Now you've had enough. Bitch.
The Don and Mike Show.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program. The best of Don and Mike.
I had an awful, awful experience on Saturday.
Really?
And it was just something that would be awful to me, but I know you'd be able to relate to this. Over the last month, I've been getting back into running.
Right.
I hadn't run, like, for 3 months. And, you know, anybody who's run a lot, you get out of the habit, it's hard to get back into it.
Like any exercise, right?
Right. So about a month ago, I started running again. And now I'm running most mornings with my son. We go out, we run 2 miles together, and it's great. It's a lot of fun. I'm running in these big Herman Munster tennis shoes of mine.
Okay.
So my wife says to me, "No, you know where you should go? There's a store that sells nothing but running shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And at this store, they actually take you outside, and they watch you run, and then they decide what kind of shoe you should wear."
Okay.
I said, "Honey, it sounds kind of retarded to me." And she said, "Well, the prices..."
Be very disappointing if you got corrective shoes after that.
The prices
are very cheap, right?
Huh. You should go just because the prices are cheap. So
okay.
They've been bugging me, and finally on Saturday we went. I go in the store, I sit down, and they got a big sign up in the store that says, you cannot buy shoes by color. Meaning that if you go in there and you say, hey, you know what, I like that pair of Nikes with the orange swish, I'll take those.
Yeah, that's why everybody buys tennis shoes that
right.
way.
They won't sell right. them to you.
Right.
It's so queer.
So it's all about the fit and the ability of the shoe to fit your feet.
But it's not the fact that I had the run that flipped me out. What flipped me out was before the run. I'm sitting down in a little chair, and I said to the girl, hi. She says, how much do you run? I said, I run between 8 and 10 miles a week. She says, mm-hmm. How long have you been running? I said, oh, I had ran for years, and I just last month or so gotten back into it. She says, fine. Take your shoes off, please. And I thought, well.
Socks, too.
Okay, that's what I'm getting to.
I see this.
I thought, okay, I'll take the shoes off.
Right.
Then she reaches down, and she starts feeling my feet and stuff. Now, keep in mind, it's Saturday morning.
Did you take both of them off?
Yeah, I'm sans shower on Saturday morning. And then she says,
oh my God,
I need you to take your socks off.
Did you have clean socks on?
No, they were dirty socks. They're socks I wore the day before.
Oh, God.
She says, you
had no idea this was going to happen.
No, no, right? No. My wife and son told me that you just go out and run for them, and they see right. if you run
sure.
like flat-footed or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So I said to her, I really don't think you want me to take my socks off. She says, I have to look at your feet. It looks like you have very wide feet. Do you wear a wide shoe? I said, yes. Can't you tell from looking at my sock feet? And she said, no. I said, well, I got the toenail fungus. And she said...
Did you say that to her?
Yeah. She said, I see it all the time.
I do. I got the toenail fungus.
She says, I see it all the time.
Well, with runners, because, you know...
Okay.
Yeah, runners get, you know, sweaty, gross feet. Right.
Yeah. Proceed at your own risk.
Did you, when she removed the shoe, did you notice any appreciable odor at that point?
No, these are relatively new shoes.
Okay,
that I have.
Very good.
Although,
very good.
As I mentioned, they were the socks that I had worn most of the business day on Friday.
Pretty sweaty show we had on Friday.
Because generally what I'll do is I wear the socks and the underwear until the next morning, because I'll get up in the morning and do my exercise,
right.
And then I will take a shower.
You didn't exercise before you went out to the shoes?
No.
Okay.
No,
good.
We did not. We did not. But still, there was all the Friday's spooge and stuff inside there.
Right.
So she says, take your socks off.
She peels off the socks?
No, I took the socks off, and I think the one foot doesn't look that bad. But the other foot, the big toe, it's like all that green stuff underneath it. And I take the sock off, and I give the woman credit.
She
doesn't barf.
Yeah.
She goes, That's exactly, she's looking right at my feet. She goes,
And her next inside
move,
she's going,
Her next move, and she's not wearing gloves or anything.
Right.
She starts touching my feet.
Yeah.
Now, I got a thing about feet.
Right.
I don't let my wife touch my feet.
Sure.
I don't like anybody touching my feet.
Right.
This girl, she is squeezing my toes. She is feeling my ankles. I'm just, I'm sitting there. At one
do
point,
you get the impression during this entire procedure that she is truly a knowledgeable individual, or do you think she's going perhaps through some sort of, sales dance for you?
You know what? They all do it.
Okay.
Now, if they know what they're doing, who the frig knows? But
I'm just be trained to give the person a mini massage.
I'm sitting there, and there's eight guys sitting, and they all got the shoes off, and they're all like having people put their fingers between their toes and stuff.
Is it just running shoes that they sell?
Yeah, just running shoes.
No tennis shoes or anything like that?
None at all.
Hmm.
So she's feeling my feet. And at one point I said to her, I said, you know, the longer you do that, the better chance that you get this athlete's foot or whatever it is all over your hands.
Mm-hmm, right.
And she says, I touch feet all day long.
Yeah, they probably go back into the back room and scrub after.
I'm thinking, what a great job this is.
Oh, my God.
Not, it's worse
that's
than
your hell job, isn't it?
Yeah, it's worse than being a regular, like, Al Bundy shoe salesman.
Right.
I mean, you're having people peel their socks off.
Sure, probably some people right after fresh off a run.
She's manipulating my toes and stuff. Then she says, okay.
She ever handle anything between the toes?
Oh! As far as I know, she didn't. I mean, I don't think I had a big toe jammer.
You were,
anything.
Like, looking straight up, right?
Oh, I was looking away. I'm embarrassed by this. She said, okay.
Did at any point, now I know it's probably the wrong person to ask, but at any point during the process of manipulating your feet, did you feel any satisfaction? Did it feel like she was giving you a foot rub?
No. It was all very
clinical.
Professional.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she'd grab the foot like this,
mm-hmm.
She'd put her hand on the top of it, she'd put her hand underneath it, she felt the ankles.
She's measuring you.
Right.
Yes,
she felt my calf muscle a little bit.
Right.
And then she said, okay, put your shoes back on. We're going to watch you run.
Okay.
I said, okay.
You know, this is already the most ridiculous set of circumstances to buy a pair of shoes I've ever heard of.
Okay. So I put my old shoes back on, socks on. I go out to the front of the store, and she says, okay, what I want you to do is run down to the Texaco and then run back, but run as you would normally run.
Okay.
Well, I'm going out, and I'm running, but I'm realizing, like, there's cars coming. It's Saturday morning at 10:30.
Right.
Cars coming. So I get to the part of the parking lot where there's cars going back and forth. And I get there, and there's cars going. So I stop for a minute, and I hear her go, run! You have to keep running. And I turn around, and I go, these cars! She says, go ahead, run! They'll stop! Run!
Man.
So, trying to kill you. I go, okay. I run to the other side of the street. It's not as bad as that Eddie Murphy movie, but I'm running across the side of the street. And I come running back, and she goes,
Very interesting.
She's writing crap down.
Right.
We get back inside, and she says, I need you to take your shoes off again.
Oh, no.
Oh my God. Now
horror,
this time,
the horror.
Now I've just run, and there's no doubt my feet have sweat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've had some sweaty feet.
It takes a brave person to walk out of the store without buying something after you go through this.
So I take the shoes off. She says, take your socks off. And it's like, oh, my God. All right.
Peel them off.
Socks off again.
Socks stuck to the nail.
Brave woman. Thank God they were trimmed. Thank God they weren't like my Howard Hughes-looking ones. Because I've let them go for a couple of months where, you know, they get snagged on stuff and they're awful. I had one that was actually like growing over the front of the toe. That
like all the way down. Like that's how you get an ingrown toenail.
Right? So
it grows right back into the flesh.
So she starts feeling my feet again.
Right.
And she said, hold on a second.
Was she at all hot? This lady?
No.
Dyke.
Really dykey.
Runner.
Very short hair.
Right.
Muscular. You know, bigger muscles than I have. Sure. A little skinny girl. She says, just a second. Tony, and she calls this guy Tony to come over.
Right.
Now, at this point, I've had enough. I mean, I put the socks back on, and I put my regular shoes back on, and this guy Tony comes over, and she says, take your shoes off. I want Tony to feel. And I said, listen. No offense. I'm all for this progress. The way that you guys are selling shoes, it's phenomenal.
Right.
I said, I got a hang up about my feet to begin with.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to take my shoes off for this guy. I made kind of a scene about it.
Mm-hmm.
And as it turns out, the girl was actually very smart. She said, have you ever had ankle surgery? And I said, yeah, when I was a little kid, when I was riding in a bicycle seat on a bike with my mom, my foot got caught in the spokes.
Ooh.
When I was a kid.
Ouch.
Oh, does that make you funny, Mike?
I'm sorry.
Is that a funny for you?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I'm glad I can amuse you.
I'm sorry.
It's about the worst goddamn thing that ever happened to me.
I'm sorry. I'm lucky.
I'm not a cripple.
I never knew. You never told me. It's like this show every day. Something new I learn about you. It was like one of those little, playing cards in the spokes.
Yeah.
Did it get it all twisted and mangled?
Yeah, I had to have an operation on my leg.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Really? Oh, if I'd known you had to have an operation, I would
right.
laugh.
F you. Okay. Go ahead. This is like when I almost drowned.
Yeah.
All those things are funny to you. I was a little kid, man.
I know.
I was like 3 years old.
Sorry about that.
So she said,
I'm not.
Oh, don't look at him.
Sorry.
Oh, what's funny? What's funny about it? What's funny about it?
I've always thought it's so funny that he thinks it's funny that you almost drowned. And I don't think the drowning is funny, but it's like a knee-jerk reaction. You say I almost drowned and Mike laughs.
I laugh because
I've been hearing
you
for 7 years now.
I laugh for the same reason.
But at least that happened. I was an adult when I almost drowned.
Well, no, but
right.
See, you're here now. You're running. Your leg is fine. Everything is fine. You didn't drown. You didn't get irreparable damage because of the ankle, so now I can. It's the luxury of time that I have on my. You know, I think it must have been all horrible.
Shut up.
Okay, all right.
Up.
Go ahead.
So she says,
"How's that ankle, Donnie?"
Oh, no,
it wasn't with him.
Okay, you weren't on the back of his stingray.
No,
or anything
it was
like
my mother. Was it with Harv Moore?
Harv Moore. Yes, the morning mayor taking a boy for a little drive here. We're gonna go right down the main drive. Whoa, little Donnie, right foot. That's gonna leave a mark. That is going to leave a mark. I'll
cold,
tell you right
man.
Now. I'm just
You're
kidding.
Cold.
I am just kidding.
I was in the hospital.
You were in. I didn't. I never knew until this very moment that. So anyway, I interrupted.
I'm glad that brings you such joy. So the lady says to me. The point of this is, I said to her, I'm not taking my socks off again for Tony.
Okay. All right. Cause, well, I mean, this would be the third time you took
right,
your socks off.
She said, well, I wanted him to feel your ankle. She says, I felt something back in your ankle. She says, I'm not an orthopedic surgeon, but I felt a little something back there.
Right.
And then I said to her, okay, I told her the story about how I got my foot caught in the bicycle when I was a kid. She didn't start laughing like you are.
I know, I'm not. I'm
she
trying
said,
very
oh,
hard
well,
not
that,
to laugh right
she
now.
Said that obviously is what I felt back on your ankle. I wanted Tony to feel that. I thought you might have a problem.
Tony might recommend the thigh-high sneaker for the added support. So Tony knows what
so
it is.
So then I
so
said...
She, what, the point you were trying to make
that
before...
I was being a jerk to her saying, listen, I've had enough with this goofy circus.
But you realize that all that, those exercises that she actually has identified,
yeah,
the fact that you had an ankle surgery by simply feeling your ankle.
Right. And I said... That's great, but now I've reached the end of the rope.
Right.
I said, what I would like is a pair of Nikes, because they're my lucky shoe.
Mm-hmm.
I want white, and if possible...
So now you're just throwing the whole thing away.
I said, if possible, I would like a red swoosh. Thank you. Size 11 and a half. Make it wide. She stands up, and she folds her arms. She looks at me. She says, you're not a Nike guy. I said, wait a minute, honey. I said, everything I have on comes from Nike. I said, Nike is my lucky shoe. She said, there's no such thing as a lucky shoe. I'm telling you, you're either New Balance or Asus.
Oh,
right? I said,
New Balance are like the kind my father used
I
to
said,
wear, you know, with the Velcro strap.
I said to her, no, I want the name brand.
They're the wide ones, right? That's why the New Balance, right?
And she brought out a pair of the New Balance, and I said, I'm not buying those.
Mm-hmm.
Those look idiotic. I said, I like the way the Nikes look. I said, you know what I like? I really like those right there that have the yellow swoosh on them. And she says, you can't buy by color. You can't buy by color. It's like I'm saying, this is the most ridiculous experience I've ever been through in my life.
You're in the wrong store. You should not be in this store to start
with. So she says to me, listen, what you need is you need the wide shoes, and you have a flat, your feet are flat when you run. Try these.
Right.
Try these on and tell me if they don't feel better on your feet.
Mm-hmm.
So I try them on, and damn if they don't feel better on my feet.
Mm-hmm.
What's the name of them? Is it Asus or... It looks like Oasis on the box.
Asa. The Asa Buchanan sneakers. Asus, right. They're a popular brand.
But they're the goofiest looking shoes I've ever seen in my life. They have like strings of spaghetti on the side going back and forth. And I said, they're goofy looking shoes.
Was she able to find one that had some kind of color scheme that made it look...
No, she only brought out the one. She said, this is the right shoe for you. And I said, I'd really rather just have a plain white shoe. And she said... Do you want a shoe that looks good, or do you want the right shoe for you? I said, well, frankly, what I really want is those Nikes right there.
Because you want the shoe that looks good.
If you'd sell those to me. And she says, no, you're going to have more problems with your ankles and with your knees if you don't get the right shoes. So finally, she wore me down, and I bought the stupid shoes.
Good. All right. That is the right decision you made. That is the right decision.
I bought the shoes, but I want to tell you, I'm never going back to that store again because I hate people touching my feet.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely hate it. It's the worst experience ever. Take your socks off. I want to call Tony over so he can feel your feet.
That's where you drew the line?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
She got you the sneakers, though. And so you went with the, you don't even know the name.
Asus, I guess.
Like A-S-I-S?
I think so.
Right.
Ridiculous.
Asus shoes. that helps. And I apologize for laughing.
Hey.
I really do. I had no idea. When I find stuff out that I've never heard before.
I'm glad that brings you joy.
Just a spontaneous
little 3-year-old boy.
You were 3.
My little delicate foot in the back of the spoke.
All right.
My mom kept going. I had an ambulance come for me.
Really? I didn't know you were 3.
I was on my back for 3 months.
All right. Being the father of a
children's hospital.
A small children. I'm
glad that brought you such joy.
That's horrible. That's horrible. I shouldn't have laughed at that. I mean that.
No, you don't.
I do.
No, you don't.
I do.
But it's okay. I know. It's okay. It's all right.
Yeah. That's horrible. I knew that.
Oh, it's horrible.
Never knew that.
Yeah, it's horrible.
You really are. I'm serious. That now you. I didn't know you were 3. It's
what,
different
what,
than you
what's
were
the
3.
Cutoff? If I was 6, would it have been funny?
Yeah, it'd be funny at 6.
Oh, really? Okay.
No, probably be funny at about 10. You know,
at 10 if I'm riding on the back of a bike with my mom.
Yeah, that's probably.
Okay, that's
maybe
funny.
The psychiatric unit at that point.
Okay,
I'll give you that. That's funny.
But I wasn't 10.
I didn't know you were 3.
But anyway, this was just an awful experience.
Mm-hmm. But the shoes feel good, and now when you run, did you run with them this morning?
Yeah, I ran with them this morning.
And they felt good?
They were okay.
They were okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay, yeah. Right.
Shoes are shoes.
I think the right shoes are important. Getting a wide shoe is important if you need it.
Yeah. Just hate to have my feet touch, that's all.
Right.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Men, tired of hair replacement methods that look terrible and just don't work? Well, now, due to a revolutionary process, a full, natural head of hair is no longer just a dream. So why wait? Do what hundreds of active men have already done.
I was completely bald just 6 months ago, until I discovered the Pubic Hair Club for Men.
Yes, the Pubic Hair Club for Men will change your life, and here are the facts. Pubic hair never needs cutting, never needs curling. Just a shot of Cruex, and you're on the go. Say goodbye to expensive body waves and styling bills. Pubic hair is genetically pre-programmed to grow only so much. Puts hair on your head with no overhead.
I had more than enough hair down there, so when Pubic Hair Club moved it up top, I was ecstatic.
We take hundreds of tiny pubic hairs and arrange them in a natural, healthy pattern. The color, the luster, and of course, the undeniable curl that says pubic hair.
Hi, I'm Ned Ulock. And remember, I'm not only president of the Pubic Hair Club for Men, I'm also a client.
So what are you waiting for?
Okay, can you see Father Gunkel in my... What's the plan when we hail at the twilight mass gleam and blue of the light and white stars who will tell of a sky or the lamp of the wild.
Thank you, Vanessa.
We're so
new to you. If you have, shut up and listen anyway. The best of Don and Mike.
I would like to take this opportunity to thank the people at my daughter's preschool graduation today who printed the program. And they had a little play before they had their little graduation ceremony.
Yeah.
And my daughter Catherine was going to play one of the little ducks. But wouldn't it be typical that the typographical error replace one particular letter.
They put F?
No, no, I. I in the place of the U.
Dicks.
And,
oh.
And as the little dicks.
There never was. Let her see that.
And I know. You know, it's something you want to save for posterity and stuff like that. Yes, and here it was when you played one of the little dicks. It was,
Daddy's little dick.
It's only my kid. You know, I mean, that would be wonderful. Oh. But she did a fine job and got all the good pictures and all that. But I was a little late, of course. Shocker. And Laura says, take a look at the program. And I said, oh. I thought it was just cute because her name was there. And I said, oh, that's nice. And she said, no, look above that, what she's playing in the play. She's supposed to be one of the little ducks. And I said, yeah, okay. And I look above it and it says little dicks.
Like, yeah.
That's the teacher. The teacher said, I use spell check.
Sure. That's a good teacher. You might want to think about another school for your kids.
It was amazing.
For goodness sakes, what if your child grew up thinking that duck was dick, and you went out to a restaurant like you were Chinese and said, Daddy, I want dick.
Little Peking dick.
Right, yeah. Daddy, yes, I love the dick in this restaurant.
Yeah, and, if you became an outdoorsman, you'd go down in the fall on the Eastern Shore and go, dick hunting.
Hey, it's almost dick season.
And then, of course, you get a little more set in your ways, and you can join that wonderful organization, Dicks Unlimited.
And maybe you can make a little sweet and sour dick.
Or if you're playing softball and the ball's coming right at your head, you just go, Dick!
for Halloween, you could dress as that crazy cartoon character, Daffy Dick.
Donald Dick.
Darkwing Dick.
Okay. All right. Hold on.
Oh, Lord. Hold on. Let's take a phone call.
Yes.
Let's take a phone call or two.
Yes.
And then, oh, and of course, Duck Van Patten.
Hello?
Duck Van Patten instead of Dick Van Patten. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, who is this?
Well, this is Don and Mike.
Oh, my goodness. I guess I got you guys right through. Oh, my God.
Right.
You sound different.
No, we don't.
You do, too.
I do, too.
Uh-huh. Yes, what can we do for you?
Well, I just want to say I love you guys completely.
Thank you. Thank you, Princess Dim.
Princess Dim?
Princess Dim!
I don't think so.
No, of course not.
Just I want to meet you guys. What can I do?
Poorly placed joke. How old are you?
I'm 25.
25? Where are you calling from?
Springfield, Virginia.
And who is the celebrity you most resemble?
Hello?
Well, I don't know.
All right, the best thing you could do is send us a photo.
Well, I can tell you that I'm very petite.
Pretty?
Petite?
Very pretty.
Petite. She's very petite.
Petite. All right, well, then send us a small picture then if you're petite, okay? All right, goodbye now, honey. Goodbye.
There she goes. She did not say goodbye to us.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to ask real quick. Don, that was real funny what you were saying about Bart, but aren't you a little afraid that he might get upset of what you're saying over the air about him? Like his friends might be tell him and could get back to him?
Please. What's so bad about talking to his coachman?
I'm just saying, like...
It smells like B.O.
And I think one of the things we were discussing earlier is that his friends are all doing the exact same thing.
Yeah, right. I would never say anything that would really hurt my son's feelings.
Yeah.
Now, my wife, that's another story. You know what I mean? Because she just won't listen. She's one step away from having her head cut off.
You can look forward to when he goes to high school. He'll get the cheap cologne to douse himself with, I know from experience.
Oh, I'm sure he will. I'm sure he'll be a big brute man when he hits high school.
Isn't it high school when you do discover that, when you discover the first foray into real cologne?
Mm-hmm. You know, we've tried the last couple of years in an effort to get him to bathe. Like, we buy him, like, the English leather gift set, like, for Christmas. You know, where it has soap on a rope,
and
it's got the little thing of English leather, but it always ends up that when I run out of aftershave, I always know that I can go into his bathroom and steal his English leather because he never touches his stuff.
When you were a kid, did you ever get, you know, for gifts, like peripheral gifts, did you ever get, like, the colognes and things like that?
That's where I started to like brutes.
I'm beginning to think maybe, you know, it's because it was a nice gift and yet they're saying you're an adult. No, it's because you stunk.
Right, because you stink. You need something to mask that smell. Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hi, how are you?
Hello, we're doing great, thank you.
Good. I'm a stripper.
Well, hello, baby. Hello.
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 And I can tell you the difference between a stripper and a hooker.
Ah. Okay, please do.
Well, the thing is, a stripper is there to tantalize and tease.
Uh-huh.
A hooker is there to get paid to please.
Right.
Ooh, a little rhyme, too. Was that a rhyme that you made up on your own?
No, actually, my husband helped me out on that one.
And strippers never, like, go into a back room with guys or anything, do they?
No, not professional ones.
No, never. Right. Those might just be out-of-school stories that I've heard.
No, those are the ones that give us actual strippers a bad name.
How long have you been a stripper?
For 6 years.
6 years.
6 years.
That's kind of the life expectancy of a stripper, isn't it? And I don't mean, like, alive. I mean just how long the career is.
Yeah, aren't you getting a little long in the tooth to be doing that?
It wears on you after a while, yeah.
Who's the, what's the oldest stripper, the oldest age of a stripper that you've danced with?
Oh, that I've danced with?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I think I'm the oldest one. All the rest of them were little teeny boppers.
How old are you, baby?
39.
Wow, that is
39.
Okay, now listen, you guys.
What?
If you want to see what I look like, you can check out my website.
Do all strippers now have websites?
Everyone. If Dennis Murphy has a website, anybody can have a website.
Of course, it is immediate, though, isn't it, with the Charlie Broyhill in the back with his computer, too.
Yeah, he could pull it up right away. We got the internet.
You have it, too, right?
Yes, I got it right here, right to my left.
That's pretty cool. Can you can punch that right in.
Hold on.
Okay.
Wait a minute. Hold on. I got to turn my computer on. Wait a minute.
This is cool. You can get it right now.
Wait a minute. Hold on.
What stripper
not even turned on?
What stripper name do you go by?
Ecstasy.
Ecstasy, baby.
Ecstasy.
Charlie Broyhill's making his way into the studio.
This is going to be a long...
Hello, Charlie.
Long name now.
Don't laugh at me.
Hi, Charlie.
Laugh at your little cute.
You have no computer.
Well, I've got a computer right in front of me,
keyboard
and a monitor
in front of you.
What happened to the internet that was in here?
That is gone with the computer to get the phones fixed.
Oh, we don't have a computer in here. I'm sorry about that.
Oh, you poor baby.
Yeah.
Does Buzz have his?
Yes, Buzz still has his.
I don't know if Buzz does or not. You want me to check?
Yeah, why don't you go see if you can pull it up on Buzz. What's your address there, 39-year-old stripper?
Write it down, Buzz.
All okay, right. Okay, you ready? Because it's really long.
Okay.
Okay, www.
Hold on, Buzz needs some time on that.
I'm ready.
Okay.
I know you got that, Buzz?
W's will kill you every time.
Three W's, right?
You got it,
yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, you got that part so far?
Yeah, I got the dot.
You better repeat that for me. What's the first part again for Buzz?
Okay,
www.
Yeah, that's
right.
It.
Okay.
Okay, ready?
Ready.
GeoCities.
Okay, I know about
is that GeoCities?
One word.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Dot com.
Right.
Backslash.
Backslash or forward slash?
Oh, I don't
forward,
know. Whatever, the one that goes
right.
From the right to
right.
The left.
What's
down.
After the slash?
Just the slash.
That's it? That's the whole address?
You are
no,
such
no,
a
listen.
Stripper, lady. Come on.
Listen, West Hollywood. Now, the W and the H have to be capital.
You're not going to get any hits on this website, huh? This is way too confusing.
Want a bet?
Yeah, can you just give us the website, please?
Slash park.
Oh, slash pain in the ass.
Got
yes.
It.
Yes. Slash 7739.
Slash 7739?
Correct.
All right. Here we go.
Now, listen, all you guys in the Beach Town Club, do not call us later and ask us for this address.
Well, I've been welcomed already to Ecstasy.
There you go.
What does she look like, Buzz? Be honest.
Well, right now I'm looking at three animated strippers, little cartoon strippers. Oh, here comes the mandatory commercial. There she is.
And?
Not bad. Not bad. She's wearing a it's a black bikini.
Yeah, Mike, go check it out, please.
Black and purple.
Oh, the Buzz, no offense.
Well, okay.
I got to send the real guy over to do this.
No, I'm panning down now to other pictures. And
you can also see me in Leg World in the...
Hold on a second. I've sent Mike over to Buzz's studio to give me a...
Yeah, see, it starts out...
A real evaluation.
Oh, she's a pig. And then and then it turns...
Mike said you're a pig, honey.
Now, check that out.
What? Check what out? What are you boys looking at?
That's an exit, not an entrance.
Oh, she got her big butt up there?
It looks like there might, and please don't take this personally, ma'am. It looks like there's just a little bit of cellulite happening there on that
you
shot from behind.
So full of...
So, Mike, you saw the picture. I didn't see it.
A little bit, there's a little Heidi Fleiss in you. You looked a little Heidi Fleiss-ish.
Heidi Fleiss's, huh?
Yeah, a little Heidi Fleiss, a nice body, but a little Heidi Fleiss in the face. Has anybody ever told you that?
No.
No?
No.
She looked 39?
Yeah.
You know, she looks...
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yes,
she does.
Robbie, you saw her.
She looks about 239. Oh, my.
All right, well, there you go, Ecstasy. Sorry, though. I didn't see it myself. I'm here running the controls. So.
Would you like to go over and take a look? Would you like to give your final judgment?
All right, I'll go look. Talk to Mike for a minute. I'll be right back.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just a little bit of Heidi Fleiss in the face.
You know what? Even with the kind of insults, I still want to go see your show when you come to Sacramento.
Well, you're welcome to come out, and we'd love you to...
I want to make
now, hold on, hold on. Ecstasy, hold on. Don is now getting your
face.
Your picture.
You got a pimply ass, honey.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the Buzz, scroll down.
Yeah.
Is it right there?
I see it. You're wearing a yellow bikini. You got one pimply ass, honey.
Oh, yeah. You guys are such liars. You guys are liars. Oh, my God.
We wanted everybody to get get dibs on you and your pimply.
Okay.
Right.
There's an Ecstasy.
Uh-huh.
Buzz did that thing where you can zoom in
right.
and really magnify.
Right.
And in the scene when you're leaning over wearing a yellow bikini.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
You should look because you have like a gigantic growth on your right buttock cheek.
I've got the pictures right here. You were so full of it, it's not funny.
I swear to God, I'm not lying.
Some kind of a spot on your right buttock, a little around toward the hip.
Uh-huh.
Go back and look, Mike. Hold on. Now Mike's leaving again to go look.
Oh,
Buzz,
check it out.
Pick that out from Mike. Mike's coming back to look at the pimple on Ecstasy's ass.
I'm on it for him. In fact, I've got the little cursor arrow pointing at it.
There you go. All right, Mike, take a look. You see it?
The shrimp is coming to a boil.
All right. Ecstasy. Well, listen, thank you for calling.
Oh, God, you guys are too funny.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, yeah. Some say funnies, others say honest. Thank you, Ecstasy.
Uh-huh.
All right. Bye-bye.
Yeah, that was a very erotic puss. Ishan.
Hello. Don and Mike show.
Don.
Yes.
Hello.
Hello.
My husband wants me to perform a sexual act with another woman in front of him.
This is another one of these voices.
Hello, how are you today?
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Hold on, is this the same woman that called us before?
No, it's not.
Sound like the same woman that called us like 5 minutes ago before we talked to Ecstasy.
Mm-hmm. No, it's not.
Hold on, here comes our producer, Inspector Gadget.
You lying whore.
Oh my God!
She was a whore.
Oh, my. Liar. Come on, you called back again a second time. Okay, all right. You know, the insults are fast and furious on this show.
That's the fourth time she's called?
Yes, I talked to her twice.
Well, she already got on the air once.
That's what I told her.
What did she keep? Was she lied to Lisa that time just to get through again?
She originally called because she wanted to tell you she wants to bring another woman into their bedroom.
My husband wants me to perform a sex act. I have gotten on the air 4 times.
Oh, I'd rather talk to the 39-year-old stripper any day.
Ecstasy. We had fun with Ecstasy.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Rabbit season. Dick season. Rabbit season. Dick season. Rabbit season. Dick season.
Okay. All right. All right, bye. Listen, we got to do a break here.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, baby. You got your friend, Vietnam? Not just this minute.
Yeah.
Well, baby, me so horny. Me so horny. Me love you a long time. You pony? Yeah, we might party. How much? $15? $15 for both of us. No, each you $15. Me love you long time. Me so horny. $15 to buku. $5 each. Me sucky sucky. Me love you so much. $5 is all my mom allows me to spend. Okay, $10 each. What do we get for $10? Everything you want. Everything? Everything.
You keep playing.
Well, old buddy.
Playing.
Do you like spending some of your hard-earned money?
The Don and Mike Show. Don and Mike are back, live in studio, tomorrow. Until then, it's the best of Don and Mike.
Here in the tabloid, I wanted to share this with you yesterday. It's in the Globe.
Yes.
Of course, all the tabloids this week. Yeah. Normally, once a week, we get a good bit when we go through the tabloid.
Right.
And we read the crap that's in there. They're useless this week because mm-hmm. they're all the same.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the Star, JFK Jr., his fabulous life. The Inquirer, special tribute to JFK Jr.
Right.
You know, only the Examiner, which mm-hmm. is really the cheesiest of the national rags.
Yeah, and the least entertaining.
Yeah, it's got nothing. Okay, it's got Montel Williams was a spy.
Right.
And Rosie's Love rescues Winona after her painful divorce.
Probably the only reason the Examiner doesn't have a JFK Jr. cover is because they just don't have the structure in place to get one out that quickly.
Right. Now, the Globe, theirs says, farewell, John and Carolyn. We'll miss you. Special tribute issue.
Right.
Now, the reason that this one caught my eye is it says, last photos.
Oh, you were talking about this yesterday.
I want to show this to you. JFK Jr.'s final hours. Last photos.
Okay.
So you think, wow, they probably have some exclusive, right?
That'd be interesting to look at that.
Okay, so as it turns out now, he died on Saturday.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. His plane went down on a Friday night.
Right.
So like, I guess really Friday night.
Friday night.
Saturday morning. Sometime around then. Okay, here he is Thursday morning. Okay. This is Thursday morning at 7:30, and that actually is a photo of JFK Jr.
Mm-hmm.
coming out of his apartment, and he's on crutches.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right? So then we go to Thursday at noon. John John Lunches at San Domenico, an Italian eatery in Central Park South. Now, they don't have a picture of him in the restaurant. It's just a picture of the restaurant. Okay.
And I like, you know, I'm already noticing the little circles with the previously photographed head,
right.
Disembodied head, you
right.
know,
right.
He was here. They right. did this a lot on the OJ story as
but
well.
It's not a picture of JFK Jr. coming out of the restaurant. It's a picture of the restaurant. Okay. Then, he went to a baseball game Thursday night. He went to a Yankees game. Okay. And again, it's not a picture of JFK Jr. It's a picture of 50,000 people at Yankee Stadium.
That's ridiculous.
Okay? And down in the corner, there's a little superimposed head of JFK Jr.
That is
okay?
So silly.
So you've got Thursday at noon, the restaurant. Thursday night, he went to Yankee Stadium. Friday morning at 6:30,
mm-hmm.
Lincoln Town car arrives to pick up Carolyn and her sister Lauren at the couple's Tribeca loft. And again, it's not a picture of them. It's just a picture of the building they lived
the
in.
The building.
The building.
Once again, with another circle and a picture of her.
Okay. Then John John says goodnight to his employees and friends in Midtown Manhattan at the offices of George Magazine and hops in his white convertible for the hour-long drive to the airport.
Mm-hmm.
It's the last time his co-workers see him alive. And the picture is a picture of the building.
Oh.
But again, no John Kennedy Jr. in the picture.
So what they're doing, they have nothing, and they're just trying to
this
make...
This is like Kenny Kramer's reality tour.
Absolutely. All, as contrived as possible.
Except for the first picture, where they really have a shot of JFK Jr.
Exclusive, the last photos
up at the top. Right.
Yeah.
Now,
God.
Here's where it gets worse. Friday night at 8 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
JFK Jr. pulls his white convertible up to Jack's Friendly Service and Sunoco Station near the Essex County Airport in Fairfield, New Jersey. He buys a banana, a bottle of Evian, and six AAA batteries. He was a regular, says some guy whose name I can't even read, but he looks like Abu from The Simpsons.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, since they don't have a picture of JFK Jr. in the place,
right.
Here's the manager.
Oh, that is so pathetic.
Of the convenience store.
That is so pathetic.
And he's holding a pack of batteries, a banana, and a bottle of Evian water.
And you know he got paid for that.
Oh, sure.
You know he got
something.
Paid to have that picture taken.
Now we're getting close to the actual crash.
Right.
Friday night at 8:15. And, of course, they don't have a picture of the plane taken off.
No, of course not.
They do have a picture, though, of fellow pilot Kyle Brady, who says, quote, "I noticed John was hobbling around, still recovering from his leg injury. I can't believe he would fly under such hazy, poor conditions at night with a single-engine plane." And there's a picture of the pilot.
And the guy's smiling.
Yeah, a big
smile. The guy's
smile.
Smiling next
great.
To the airport.
Yeah.
Hi, here
very
I appropriate. Am.
These are the exclusive photos.
Yeah, I was at the airport, too.
And then they have Saturday morning. As sun rises over Martha's Vineyard, copters comb the ocean looking for survivors. And that's obviously a picture that they clip off TV because it's of a Coast Guard helicopter.
Right.
And then the last picture is... when debris, including luggage, wash up on shore, everyone's worst fears come true.
Mm-hmm.
And then, right there, they have a picture of the wheel of the airplane.
The wheel of the airplane.
And some of the bags that floated up on shore.
Unbelievable.
So those are the exclusive photos.
Yeah, I mean, so when I think the moral of that story is, like, thumb through them before you put them in your grocery bag.
Right.
My God.
The restaurant, Yankee Stadium.
The best was the guy that worked in the convenience store holding the banana and the bottle of water.
Look at that. Probably. There he is.
Yes, here's what he had.
Hey, Robbie.
Yes.
Why don't you research this? I'd love to call this guy. I'd love to call this Abu guy.
I mean, he's great.
Yeah, find out if they paid the guy.
Oh,
I'd love
to know
they
that.
Did. You know that they probably paid him, what, like $2,000 maybe to do that?
Yeah, we'll find out. You know what I mean? Or he might just love publicity. If he got paid and loves publicity, maybe he'll talk to us about it.
That is not an exclusive picture of JFK's final moment, though.
It's a picture of buildings, basically. Buildings in Yankee Stadium. I'll bet he did it for $100 or less. You think so?
Yeah, I do. No, I bet it was more than that.
I'll
bet
grand.
It was $2,000. I think it was $2,000.
You think it was? All right, so you say $100 or
I'll
less?
I'll say a C note.
I say a grand. Don says $2,000.
Robbie, can you dial any faster?
Waiting for an operator.
Ah, oh, forget it. I'll do it myself.
Hold on.
Now we'll see who's faster.
All right.
He's working on it.
He's going fast. It's a little competition we have.
Love to get an operator.
Thank you, may help you.
Yeah, hey, baby. Hi, this is the Don and Mike radio show. We're on the radio right now.
Hi.
I would like the number, please, in Fairfield, New Jersey, of Jack's Friendly Service and Sunoco Station.
Okay, please dial 411. They provide national directory now.
Can't you help me, please? You're doing a radio show? Please?
No, I'm sorry, I can't help you.
Please, baby?
Sorry, I can't help you.
I said, please, baby.
Come on, baby.
Goodbye.
Come on, baby.
Come on, baby.
Come on.
Dial it, baby.
All right.
No, she's not going to help us.
No. Okay. Rob probably already has the number by now.
No, he doesn't. Still doesn't. Oh, now he does. Rob's a winner.
He has it.
Big winner, Rob Spiewak.
With a cast on his hand and everything.
Oh, sorry, Rob.
That's the one I meant to press.
It's the huzzah. It's the dinger.
All right, we will ask for... The guy's name is Metzen. G-E-B-R-E-E-G-Z-I-A-B-H-E-R.
Smith.
Right.
Metzen Smith.
Hello, come and help you.
Yes, hello. Is Mesfin there?
Mesfin, he's not coming yet. He's got to come in like later on. Who's calling?
All right, listen, this is the Don and Mike radio show. We're doing a live national radio show right now.
Okay.
We're wondering, Mesfin has his picture in the Globe tabloid.
Yeah, I saw him, yeah.
This week where he's holding up the banana and the water and the batteries.
What a stupid thing is, you know, they do like that, you know.
Yeah, they actually took a picture of him. Did they pay him for that picture? To take that picture, you know, pose for that picture?
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
Sucker.
Really? Yeah. You mean he did it for free?
I think they do. They shouldn't pay him, right?
What?
What?
They shouldn't pay him, right?
No, we had a theory that they probably did pay him for that picture.
And we were kind of curious if they did, what they paid him for, you know, to pose for that picture with the last things that JFK Jr. bought. Well, not really the last things he bought, but we bought it. Replicas. Yeah.
Okay, so, you know, he's got to come in, like, after 5 o'clock.
Okay, we'll call back. Don't you think it's kind of cheesy that Mesfin was standing there holding the banana and the batteries and the water? Don't you think that's kind of tacky?
He bought, you know, JFK. I know him. I saw him, too, you know, more than, like, 5-6 times these places, but I know he bought banana, Evian, battery, and water.
Okay,
but,
we don't doubt that, sir, but don't you think it was tacky that the employee of the Quickie Mart posed for a picture with the same items that JFK Jr. bought?
Oh, okay.
Do you think that was tacky?
I don't know, you know.
I don't think he understands what tacky means.
What does that mean? You know, you got to tell me, I'll explain. You know?
Okay, no, in poor taste.
No class.
Yeah, maybe poor taste. You know, some people have import, you know, some people have a dozen, you know, I don't know.
What do you think?
This is important, you know. Last time...
No, not important. Imports. No. Forget it. It's impossible.
No?
Impossible.
Are you wearing a turban right now?
Excuse me?
Are you wearing a turban?
No.
No?
No.
What is your country of origin, if I could ask?
My country is Turkey. You wanna know?
Turkey?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are you an American citizen?
Yes.
Oh, congratulations.
Do you pledge your allegiance to America?
Religions? No, yeah. I'm Muslim.
He said religion. No, yeah. No. He said allegiance. Do you pledge allegiance to the United States of America? And renounce Turkey.
Would you do that, please? Would you say that you love America?
I love America, of course.
And good. You love America more than Turkey?
I love what country?
But you love America.
I cannot tell them to, you know, the country of Turkey. Turkey is beautiful, too.
But you love America more than Turkey.
If Turkey's so beautiful, how come you're living here?
I use both country.
No, you live here.
You're an American citizen now.
Well, I can go anywhere, you know.
You can go anywhere, but you live here.
How about,
here.
I got a question for you.
Yes.
What about the, you know, your family came from, you know?
Right, my family came from America, buddy.
I don't think so.
I think so. And you know what, even if I didn't know where they come from, let's say they came from Italy.
Right.
You know what I would say?
Okay.
I would say, F Italy.
And my family came from Ireland. And
okay.
I say it for everybody to hear. I love Ireland a lot more than the United States of America.
Oh, you rat. You're ruining my whole thing here.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry. I slipped. I mean,
come
I
on.
Love the United States
renounce
more than Ireland.
Renounce Ireland, Mike.
I love the United
States. Oh, okay.
I'll never renounce Ireland, Danny.
Well, go there and do the show then.
Listen, how am I going to learn these guys with the turbans if I can't learn you? I'm just trying to learn them.
Trying to learn them some smarts.
Yeah. Trying to let you know, you're in the greatest country in the world.
That's right.
Your love, your number one love should be America.
That's right.
I mean, what is the country that put your friend Mesfin, and how do you pronounce Mesfin's last name?
Mesfin is from Turkey. Mesfin is from, I think it's, what do you call, but Africa.
Africa?
How do you pronounce Mesfin's last name?
Wait a long name. I can't do that. This
you can't pronounce his name?
No. When he's gonna come, you know, he's gonna tell you, you know, wait a long, you know. I never see this guy in long last name, you know.
Are you the boss or are you just the
manager over there?
Oh, you're the manager.
Very good.
So are you Mets Finn's boss?
Yeah, I'm Mets Finn's boss, yeah.
So did he have to get your approval before he had his picture taken with the banana and the batteries in the water?
I think you asked me many questions, you know. We better stop, you know, when he's coming asking talking to him, you know.
Did he have to get your permission to have his picture taken with these items?
Or maybe do it, you know.
What?
He doesn't know what to do. That's why, you know, they come to tell him, he said yes, that's all.
Okay, so he made a mistake.
He made a mistake, something like that.
Maybe.
I don't know, maybe not, maybe.
So he did it on his own and he didn't ask you about it.
How come you got another question for you?
I'm just asking you, there's no pressure here. You're not going to get in
don't
trouble.
Don't worry, we're not with immigration.
Okay, I thought you were immigration, you know.
No, we're disc jockeys.
We're disc jockeys, and we just wanted to find, and he obviously did it without asking.
Listen, you asked me questions, I answered it. You should have listened to me, too.
All right, you want to ask us a question? Go ahead.
Yeah.
All right, what?
Go ahead.
Okay, you know, Junior's in, how I know Junior? You know, 1996, you know, when he went.
What? Junior who? JFK Junior?
Yeah. When he went, you know, when you get married.
Oh, what year did John F. Kennedy Jr. get married?
I have no idea.
1996.
1990s, will you answer the question? All right, ask us another question.
Go ahead, ask us anything.
We'll answer any questions you have.
Oh.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, ask us any question.
Okay, I'm saying like Junior John, you know, 1996, when he went to other country, which country he went? When he got married Hanneman.
When he went? Hey, you're going to have to speak American, please.
Was it Ireland?
Yeah, a little bit of Ireland, like you.
Yeah.
Who won the Super Bowl last year?
No. We don't
I'm asking you a question now. All Americans should know, who won the Super Bowl last year?
Listen, I got to tell you the truth. You know, when I knew him, I saw on the Turkish TV in 1996. He went to the Istanbul, Turkey.
Who won the NBA championship this year?
I don't care. I'm not worried about this.
What's your favorite sport?
Soccer.
There's your problem right there. That's your problem right there. Here's a final question for you. Have you gotten lots of favorable publicity after Mespin posed in this magazine? Have you gotten a lot of people coming and saying, hey, I saw him in the magazine?
A lot of people are still coming. We wear a busy store, you know. We got all the famous guys coming all the time, in and out. You know?
Who, next to JFK Jr., who are some other famous people that come into your store?
Who is the mother famous? I don't know.
I mean, what?
I don't know.
You said you have a lot of famous people come into the...
You know, I don't want to tell the name, you know. They're in and out.
Oh, come on.
You ever sell Rosie O'Donnell tampons?
I'm not going to tell you. If I see you, I'm not going to tell you. Sorry.
All right.
Well, thank you for your time.
Has Gary Marshall ever come into your store?
Yeah. I saw you, too.
This guy. I can't believe you're not in this country legally, right? I mean, all kidding aside, I'm not with immigration. I'm just a disc jockey. But you're not
You know, I give you my address, too. You know, if you want to call immigration.
Are you really in this country legally?
No.
Okay. I didn't think so. All right, I'll let you slide, though. Thank you.
I have like a couple girlfriends. You know, that's okay, you know.
A couple of girlfriends.
Right, I got you. Okay, nice good talking to you.
Okay.
Work on that English.
Hey, how do you say goodbye in Turkey?
Goodbye min gulegre.
No.
Min gulegre.
Min gulegre.
Okay. Did you guys put on the radio this one, talk show? No.
We're on the radio right now.
Come on.
No, it's true.
Okay, but if you want to talk to Mespin, you call him like an hour later.
Okay, yeah, hour whatever. Later. You just keep picking up handfuls of words and throwing them in a dartboard.
Okay. Thank you. Keep living in this country illegally with your two girlfriends.
How about you? I'm going to call you, too. You know, immigration looking for you.
Right on, brother.
That's right.
Go ahead, brother. You know what my name is? Johnny Patriot. That's my name, Johnny Patriot.
Okay.
No problem. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome, sir.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay.
Go get on your flying carpet and go back home.
No problem.
You all think. Right. Bye, good.
I'm not flying, you know. I'm just walking, not driving car either.
Good. Stay out of a vehicle. That's all right. Read signs.
Okay, take care, buddy.
Yeah. All right. See you, buddy.
Bye-bye.
Bye, buddy.
So we meet again. This is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.